Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
You have offended
this podcast,
and you have offended
the entire movie making community.
Failure. Fucking failure. Let me educate you, motherfucker. I'm coming up.
And welcome once again to You Have Offended This Podcast. We watch martial arts movies. My name is Mike McCarron, and with me, as always, is a man who once descended into the nether realm to avenge his family, Chad Lindsay. How are you, buddy?
It has begun!
Yes, we are closing it out the way we opened it up, and we are going to jump into Mortal Kombat 2021 and see how this one compares to the 95 version we cracked this season open like a cold beer to. So what are you thinking about this one on just kind of general thoughts?
Just general thoughts. Like, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I think that there are things that this film does exceptionally well.
Yep.
Like, really, really well. And then there's other points in this film where I'm like, you know what? The 95 film did it better. Like, you know,
yeah.
You say whatever you want about that 95 film. Like, that was a solid film, man.
It was
that
good.
That was a solid film.
Yep.
And I really thought that this was going to take it into a little bit of a, like, I like the 95 film, like, oh, there's Scorpion, there's Sub-Zero, their costumes looked very, very realistic to the game, right? Like,
yeah.
And this one, I'm like, oh, shit, they're going in a different direction. And I don't mean to shit on this film, but this film starts out solid.
Oh.
And for me, like, the longer you watched it, the kind of worse it got. And I'm not even trying to be a dick. I know there's people that love this film. It's a bit of a, it's right down the middle for me, man.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie, like, if I watched it as just a martial arts movie and didn't know it was Mortal Kombat, it was just a martial arts generic movie, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. But when you throw in the fact that it's a Mortal Kombat movie, well, now there's expectations laid on that of there's things that you need to have in a Mortal Kombat movie. And this doesn't have the main one, which is a fucking tournament.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it's the Mortal Kombat tournament, to save the goddamn Earth realm, ain't no tournament in sight.
There's somebody driving in their car right now listening to this, punching the steering wheel like, you fucking asshole that was setting up the tournament.
Yeah.
But I mean...
Yes, and fair enough, yes.
I, like, you and I have had the conversation where I think you've got to do one or the other. Like, the 95 film, you know, that first 15 minutes, they did a decent job of setting up our main protagonists, right? Which in that film was Sonya, Liu Kang, Raiden, right?
Yep.
And
Johnny Cage.
And then, you know, Raiden kind of being the, you know, the anchor to the tournament. But these guys are learning about it, and they're basically teaching, well, there's a tournament, and we've lost 9, and all this ribbity-rah.
Yeah.
And they jumped right into it, and we got into the tournament. With this film, it's like, oh, shit, they're going to do some backstory. Fuck, excellent. Yeah, let's just sit back and enjoy the backstory. But it starts out really well with the Scorpion and Sub-Zero, and then it just kind of fizzles for me. It just kind of moves around a bit, and it, like, you know, you're trying to catch the soap.
Yeah, it is that, isn't it? Like, when this movie opens, dude, the first like 7 minutes of this movie, we should have said this already. This is from 2021. So we're going to spoil the fuck out of this movie, which we already have by telling you there's no tournament.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen this movie, fucking go watch it before you ever listen to this podcast, because we're going to talk through every goddamn detail of this. So
honestly, I think the fans have all seen it.
I would hope so.
If you're a fan of Mortal Kombat, you've already seen it, but yeah. Go ahead. We're missing a tournament. That's point number one that I have a problem with this.
Yeah. And the first like 7 to 10 minutes of this, and you mentioned it, it's the Sub-Zero and Scorpion sort of backstory, is awesome. Like, it's so good. These two guys, Hiroyuki Sanada, who plays Hanzo Hasashi, who becomes
fucking
Scorpion.
Joe Taslim, man.
And fucking Jocko. Joe Taslim, like, who plays Bi-Han, who becomes Sub-Zero. These dudes are awesome. Like, they're so,
like,
good.
This could have been the film.
Yes.
Like, this, like Mortal Kombat is huge now, okay? Like, it's absolutely huge. You and I played it when it was an arcade cabinet.
Yep.
And it was you and Legere that was just came running into my office, and you guys were like, what the fuck? Jesus, you gotta come see this. You rip a head off and his spine's hanging up the head. Yeah, we gotta get down here right now.
Holy sweet Jimmy, Jesus Christ.
Jesus fucking Christ. But the thing that's amazing is, like, I really enjoyed this story. Like, again, in that 95 film, I really liked the game realistic costumes that Scorpion and Sub-Zero had on. I was like, fuck, those are, like, on point.
Yep.
But this, I'm like, oh, they're going to take in a little bit of a different direction. They're going to make it a little bit more realistic, but there was so many nice little nods in there. I could have watched a Scorpion, Sub-Zero origin story, and it would have entertained me for 90 minutes. With these two guys setting it up, like, we could have started a little bit before that scene, and then basically, you know, just kind of ended with that final battle, which honestly was very, very good.
It's tremendous.
I thought it was great. I had some very small issues with the edit, not the choreography at all, but the edit. But I thought it was really, really well. It's clearly the best part of the film.
Well, and like we spoke briefly earlier today and said, if they had done that, if they had made a Sub-Zero Scorpion sort of Avengers-style Captain America movie or Iron Man movie where it was just the origin of these two and start with the rivaling clans and go through some battles and then finish the movie with this final confrontation and have Scorpion descend into the Nether Realm and then have the teaser at the very end of Raiden coming down.
Yeah.
And touching the ground where he burnt up and went into the Nether Realm and like, holy fuck, there's Raiden. Oh my God, that's the next movie is Raiden.
Yeah.
Putting, you know, and then go from there and like fucking build it up. If you're going to build it up, like take your time, build it up and build to the tournament in the end. So the tournament movie is like the fifth movie in after you touch on all these characters, like, and take your time with it.
What, like, how many goddamn Marvel movies did it take to get to Endgame? Like 24?
Jesus Christ, dude.
20, like, it was just, it was ridiculous. You know, ridiculous in a good way, because I went and saw them all. I was like, fuck yeah, I'll go see the movie. Eat some popcorn, scream at the screen.
Yep.
But yeah, like this was for me, like, such a, like, again, I don't want to come across like I'm bashing the movie, because it's a solid movie, but it just feels like, I feel like this movie insulted my intelligence, because the good guys, and we'll discuss it as we get into the film, the good guys do so many stupid things just to move the plot forward or just to have these contrivances in order to make the plot move forward. And I'm just like, okay, listen, I am not that dumb. Like, that does not make sense, sir.
Yeah.
That, you know, I was just like, man, just, I was a little upset a few places, but here we are. I would have done a Scorpion Sub-Zero movie. I would have been all in. I would have put my money down and I would have watched that. And then I would have done a Kano Sonya Jax movie.
Yes.
Like, I would do all of those. You know, Liu Kang.
Yeah, do a Liu Kang Kung Lao movie.
Like, that would be so dope. Plus, there's so many new characters now that I don't even know, because, like, I mean, we were kids when it came out. We were playing the cabinet versions of, you know, 1 and 2 and 3.
University, yeah.
You know, and now there's, like, all kinds of characters. I don't even know who the fuck these people are, but...
Yeah, they built out the universe a lot.
You have so many... Yeah, like, you have such a huge universe, like... Why don't we jam 5,000 people into this and see what happens? By the time you get to the tournament, you could have a really, really solid, like, well-fleshed-out characters. Because these characters, especially the good guys, none of them are fleshed out in this film at all. And I think that's another big problem I have with it.
No, but, like, if you're going to compare it, like, think about the emotional reaction that people had in Endgame when Captain America picked up Molinor.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
Like, people legitimately fucking cried in the theater when they were like, oh my God, he's so good and of heart, he can pick it up, holy fuck! Like, the feeling of that was built up over 20 fucking movies.
Yeah, over 20 movies. And then they rebooted,
they rebooted Hulk 3 times to get it right.
And even, like, the moment where, like, you've watched 20-some movies or whatever, and he grabs the hammer and he's just like, Avengers! assemble. Like, that's their catchphrase. They never used it in the 20, like, two dozen movies. Like, this is a guy that knows how to hold his load, Kevin Feige. He's just like, I'm going to fucking wait to the best spot, and it's going to be this. And he fucking does it. And I just think that, for me, like, I love those Marvel characters. They're really fun and exciting. But you have, I think, just my opinion, I think the Mortal Kombat characters are fucking way cooler than the Marvel characters. Like, far more interesting. It's martial arts. I'm fucking in for a penny, in for a pound on that shit.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. Like, you know, I'm not disappointed in the movie per se. I'm disappointed because, like, we're talking right now, the vision that I have for it is this grand scale, take your time, delayed gratification thing where take 20 movies, dude. I'm there. Like, I'll go see all these movies and then hit me with the tournament. So when Sub-Zero finally grabs somebody's fucking neck and pulls their head off, I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Or if they're like, fuck it, we're not going to do that. We're just going to do one movie and see where it goes. It's like, okay, well, you better fucking start with the tournament, and you better have some really good fucking violent moves, because when fuck, this is the thing that bothers me. Like, when it's a tournament, right, and somebody gets a flawless victory or somebody gets a fatality, that's part of the scoring system. But if, like, Kung Lao just kills somebody and he goes, fatality, like, who the fuck says that? Like, to themselves. Like, there's nobody else around Kung Lao. Who the fuck are you talking to? Like,
flawless victory. Well, but, yeah, but. Like, yeah. Yeah, god damn it.
So, god damn, like, it's, and my frustration is just, like, because I know this could be fucking top shelf. I know this could be the best of the best. And
because they show us that in the first 7 minutes.
Yeah, man. I'm like, man, I fucking love life. And it reminded me of some of the old films too. Like, when he walks up, when, like, we haven't even gotten into any of the movie. We're just fucking.
No, I know. I was just thinking about when I'm going to do the pitch to the patrons here.
Well, do that. I was actually, let's get this going. But I mean, we just kind of ranted for the first few minutes here.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We're going to jump into this now. But if you would like to join the Patreon here and support us in what we do, that would be awesome. You can go to patreon.com/youhaveoffendedthispodcast. You can go there. We have different levels. For as low as $5 a month, you can get all of our full podcasts, all of our seasons, the back seasons, and the partial arts movies that we do as well. If you don't want to do that, you can go to our website, which is offendedpodcast.com. If you don't feel like having a recurring cost, go there, buy a piece of merch or something. That way you get something cool and it helps us keep the lights on at YHOTP Central here. And follow us on our social media, because you'll get heads ups on what we're doing next movie-wise and what we're covering and all that jazz. You can give us suggestions on what you like, people, scenes, whatever. We're at YHOTP on Twitter, on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. You can just search You Have Offended This Podcast, and you will get what we have there. So thanks so much to our patron. Mike, you rule. Thanks, buddy. And hopefully we can get some more of you out there interested and come to support us, because we love doing this, and we would love to make this our full-time job and put out more content on TV shows about martial arts or TV shows about comedy or anything like that. Like, there's a bunch of shit we have on our back burner that we're thinking about doing. We just don't have the time because we both work full-time now. But if this was our full-time job, we would have some fun. So thanks very much. Hit that up, and let's get into this Mortal Kombat 2021. So yeah, this fucking, dude, this opening scene is dope. This is the shit. It makes me think of, like, really good samurai movies, like, you know, Harakiri, you know what I mean? Whatever it is, the Seven Samurai. Like, this is really good.
Yeah, it's a great opening. And again, like, it really hooked me. And I was just like, Jesus, this is going to be great. Because he's there with his wife. He's got his, you know, his son and his daughter. You know, they're like giving each other kisses, and she's out working in the gardening with her gardening tool, which is going to play a big role in a moment.
Yep.
And she's like, hey, go get some water, and, you know, sends him down to go get the water. And then suddenly along comes Sub-Zero, the Bi-Han Sub-Zero.
The clan. Yeah. He goes off. Listen, this guy, Hiroyuki Sanada, he is a tremendous actor. You know,
he is great.
when he grabs her face and says, you know, I'm grateful and thankful to be with you.
Yes.
And she gives a little smile and off he goes to get the water. Like, Hiroyuki Sanada has been in 113 films.
Like, man.
He was in the original, you know, Ringu in Japan.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And the sequel. He's been in The Last Samurai. He was been in Rush Hour 3, The Wolverine, 47 Ronin. He was in Avengers Endgame. He's been in Westworld and Army of the Dead. He's going to be in John Wick fucking Part 4.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? Like, he's a motherfucker. He's really good. And, man, so he's at the river, and the wife comes in and says, why is it so cold in here? And you're like, fuck.
Oh, yeah. As soon as she said that. Like, again, my problems are with the script, because that line alone, you're just like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, the sword comes through and you see the death, and she hides the baby under the floorboards.
Mm.
And just so you know, the wife, the tool that she's using is called a kunai, and that becomes Scorpion's signature weapon. It is actually a weapon, but Ninja used to use it for, like, climbing and shit like that, and a lightweight bladed weapon.
It's very cool.
Very cool. But fucking Joe Taslim comes in here and blocks the door. He is so good in this scene. He's, man, menacing, like, as shit.
Yeah, he is so great, because you're terrified. And the little kid puts his little ridge hand
his
up.
His little hand up, yeah.
And he just kind of smiles and stoops down. And you could just see the fear in the mother's eyes.
Yeah.
And then they just...
He says, did your dad teach you that?
Yes. And then
she
all
just
of a
grabs
sudden,
him. Oh.
He's showing his cryomancer capabilities. And, you know, he just ices up his hand and stares at them. And Joe Taslim is fucking awesome, man. Like,
yeah,
I really like this guy a lot.
He's so good. When he was fighting with Hiroyuki Sanada, they were doing their Scorpion Sub-Zero battle. Simon McCoy, the director, had to tell him to slow down because he was going too fast for the cameras to pick up.
Mm.
He's that fucking good and fast. Like, he's a motherfucker. And it's cool when his hand freezes here when he's in front of the kid and the mother. And when he makes a fist, the ice breaks and falls off in little pieces,
yeah,
of his hand, and his hand's bleeding.
Like, yeah. It's
so fucking good, and apparently his hands bleed here when he's behind, but once he becomes Sub-Zero, his hands don't bleed anymore.
Oh, because he becomes crazy talented. Like, at this point, like, this is the backstory where he's just kind of learning his,
yeah,
cryomancer his skills here. It's great, but then all of a sudden you hear the scream, and he comes running, and the buckets knock over. It's, like, so very artistic, right?
And dude, it breaks my heart. It's so good.
He walks up on his family, and they're just encased in ice, and he kneels down and just says, I am sorry. Like,
yeah, it fucking tears your heart out, man.
It
really does. Like, I didn't think Mortal Kombat, 5 minutes in, I'd be tearing up.
Well, that's why I'm so pissed,
I fucking
man.
Was.
That's
I know.
I'm so pissed, because I was like, this is fucking gorgeous. Like, this is not just a good Mortal Kombat film. This is a fucking amazing film. Like, this is,
yeah,
this is one for the fucking ages, right?
Yeah.
And once he starts fighting with the ninjas, it's fucking dope.
It's phenomenal. He touches his son's face and starts to cry.
Yeah.
And it tears your heart out. But then you hear the assassins come behind him and the shift in his face.
Oh, yeah.
Of, oh, you fuckers are going to pay now.
Like, yes.
And he goes, do you remember in 300 when that guy's son got his head cut off and he just went fucking bananas?
Yeah. He went berserker.
That's what it's like. He went fucking
berserker style.
And that's what this dude does.
Yeah.
Like, that dude that kicks him and he catches the leg and stabs the sword through the top of the fucking dude's head.
Oh, my God. Yes.
It's tremendous. Like, the choreography here is amazing. He's writing these fucking dudes off.
Yeah, and he's using the tool. I forget the name of it.
He goes to get the kunai, his wife's kunai from the garden, and then just starts smacking these last couple dudes.
He's throwing it into their heads and then doing the trademark scorpion pull.
Yep.
And just, I actually thought it was amazing. I was just like, so stoked, and I just thought it was done so well.
Oh, my God. The potential of this movie right here.
Yes.
He's stabbing dudes and doing leg sweeps and dropping legs on dudes and throwing the rope at dudes. And like you said, doing the scorpion. He doesn't say it, but he pulls the dude towards him and fucking clotheslines him and stabs him. And then he just yells out, "Behan!"
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're like, holy shit, what is going on? Like, this is fucking amazing. And then he's just sitting there on that rock like a badass, and they come up and there's the confrontation. Yeah. And you realize, oh, this is fucking Sub-Zero and Scorpion, like, right now.
Yeah, they're going to fight now.
We're
5 minutes into this film, and they're going to fight already.
It's so good.
And then when he throws it, and it digs into the tree, and,
like,
you know,
deep, yeah.
Yeah, Behan moves his head and just kind of laughs. But when he pulls it out, it slices open his cheek, and they laugh, and then they get into, like I said, I thought the fight was really good. I wasn't crazy about the edit because it was, you know, like they edit, you know, one move, one edit, one move, one edit.
Yeah.
Really didn't get to see a nice flow from the same camera. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like
camera,
every time somebody swings, it's a different angle. But other than that, like other than that one small problem I had with it, which is not even a big problem. It's just.
Just a style preference, yeah.
Just when they first fight. But you get a little bit of flowing as they fight a little bit later on. And he slams his head into the rock.
Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah, that was hard. And his face was fine after that, which was a little continuity thing. But I really liked when Behan says, you know, we've exterminated everybody and now I'm going to do it to you. But he's saying it in Chinese.
Yes.
And Hanzo here says, I don't know what you're saying, but I promise you I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good. Like, yeah, this fight's great. They go back and forth a little bit. It is edit-y.
Yeah, a little
but
bit.
But it's good. I still like it. And, he chucks Hanzo into the tree here, takes his weapon, and he ends up, unfortunately, here for Hanzo, finishing him off here.
Yeah.
But I liked the uniforms. They're very toned down and a little more realistic. Apparently, when Joe Taslim put on the Sub-Zero uniform the first time, he was so excited because his kid made a big push for him to do this role because his kid played the games.
Oh, really?
And
okay,
he took like a ton of selfies in the uniform. Yeah. He's like, this is so awesome. This is dope. Because like, he looks awesome.
He does. And I like how Scorpion's yellow. And listen, the Mortal Kombat mythology has changed greatly over the years. So it's not. Like, they retcon and change it a lot. I mean, in the original, Scorpion wore the same outfit as Sub-Zero, but it was yellow to mock his cowardice.
Yes.
But in this one, he's wearing yellow, but it's kind of like a samurai outfit, but he's got the yellow fringe in it and stuff like that. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's more like a gold.
Yeah, it's, yeah, like a gold color. And that's why, again, I don't think I would be as disappointed. Like, I think if this scene wasn't the opening and it was just like kind of a Mortal Kombat movie and I was like, yeah, it was okay, it was all right, but
yeah,
I think I have a lot of passion and maybe a little bit of anger because I was like, look what you fucking had, man. Like, you fucking made something so good, and then it just kind of dips off.
Yeah that's kind of the problem. Sub-Zero, Behan still at this point leaves thinking that Hanzo Hizashi here is dead, but he hears his baby crying and tries to crawl up to the house and doesn't make it.
Yeah.
And then the scene of him dying face down outside his house and then burning. He's got you can see the mark on his forearm, the tournament marking.
That's another problem I have with this film is the stupid tattoos, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, it is...
Although it does make for a good comedic line later.
Well,
but,
yes.
He does burn up here, and as the rain sort of falls on the blood here... We get the lightning, and then the first appearance of Raiden, who comes down, which was a badass appearance of Raiden. Like, still, at this point in the movie, on my first watch, I was still like, fucking Raiden! Yes!
Yeah, I'm like, fucking Raiden! Oh my god, I hope he doesn't do stupid things throughout the film, and he's a useless, neutered god, but... Anyway, like when he shows up, picks up the baby, and vanishes, and we get the Mortal Kombat title card, man, like this is probably one of the, like, this is one of my favorite openings of any film. Like, not just martial arts or anything like that. This is a fucking solid opening, man. Like, this is a great opening. And I was just like so into this, and I was like, man, this is going to be so great.
Yep.
But then we get the graphics where it's like, now we're going to do the explanation. And usually when you get to a film, and they have like a paragraph of text. Not all of them. There's some exceptions like Highlander and fucking
Star Wars,
Conan and shit like that. But oftentimes when you see those graphics where they're doing the explanation, you're like, oh shit, I'm in a bad movie.
Yeah. You're like, oh, God damn it. They're telling me what's happening. But here we are, the new group, the tournament's going to be lost or, you know, whatever. The bad guys have won a bunch of tournaments. So, and then after the title card, they cut to the newly introduced character of fucking Cole, who has the gold or yellow hand wraps.
Yeah.
For what will be obvious reasons soon. But yeah, we have fucking Cole here.
That's the other part. Like, you've got Cole in this film, who's basically supposed to be the guy that, you know, we follow, that walks us through the tournament. Like, the everyman, the lightning rod, you know, like a lot of films have that character.
Well, he's
so
the audience.
Can explain. Yeah, so people can explain stuff to him so we, the audience, can pick up on it. I'm going to say it. Like, I really don't think they needed this guy. Like,
they didn't.
They did not need this new character.
No. I mean, I think they thought, I'm putting thoughts in their head, but it seems like they thought, well, we'll make up a new guy and then the people can explain it to him so the audience knows what's up. Dude, anybody watching Mortal Kombat knows what the fuck is up.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's a hard concept to figure out.
No.
It's a fucking martial arts tournament movie. It's Enter the Dragon. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Fucking, anyway, he's a martial arts guy. He's a mixed martial arts fighter who fucking sucks. They might as well nickname him Canvasback because he fucking blows. He just gets his ass kicked all the time.
Well, I mean, even the guy that, I don't know if he's the promoter or the coach or whatever, like, he's so over the top. The acting in the first part with Joe Taslim and I forget the other gentleman's
name. And Hiroyuki Sanada, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that is some fantastic acting. And then they cut to this guy who, like, might be somebody's uncle involved in the film. And he's like, hey, Cole, what a fucking piece of shit. They might as well call you piece of shit. You fucking rickety-ass fucking head on backwards. You got the fucking rickets. You got fungus on your knuckles and your fucking breath is bad. It's just like, man, what the fuck? And he's like, oh, by the way, thank you for coming in and doing this fight.
Thanks for coming in. And
last minute.
Getting your fucking asshole beat out for $200. Thanks. I appreciate it. I owe you one.
Like, that threw me off. I was like, fuck, he's that much of an asshole? Okay.
And this fight is okay. I mean, it bugs me because I like mixed martial arts so much that this dude gets Cole in this, like, crucifix neck crank thing that looks like it hurts like fuck.
Yeah.
And his sister or whatever who's in his corner is like, don't tap! Don't tap! And I'm like, he's pulling your fucking head off. Maybe tap. Like, Jesus Christ, dude, relax.
Yeah, like, the kid's you're not, like, hey, yeah, throw the uppercut.
Yeah, which, you know, that's his little thing, and uppercuts are powerful in the game, so that was kind of a throw to that.
Yeah.
But every time they go from the Cole character and they kick it, like right here, at the end of the fight, they kick back to Sub-Zero now going up to Shang Tsung and having the meeting. This is fucking great.
Yeah, and then, but they just fucking suddenly cut from mixed martial arts, and of course, Jax slips in and he's watching it, and then they just cut to this, like, this sort of rock face thing, and it just says, Outworld. Like, there we go, Outworld. But
now we're in Outworld.
Then you get, then it's just like, oh, okay, we're jumping around a little bit, and then you've got, you know, Sub-Zero coming up to Shang Tsung, and I gotta say, I don't like this Shang Tsung as much as the 95. I think the 95 Shang Tsung with CHT did a better job.
He was so cool and over the top and big, which is kind of what Shang Tsung needs to be, really, right?
Yeah.
Like, Chin Han plays him here. Chin Han's a great actor.
He like, is.
He was in The Dark Knight, right? He was he was Lao in The Dark Knight, the TV man, the man on the TV.
Yeah, the man on the TV. I know a squealer when I see one.
Yeah, he's the squealer, right?
He's a good actor. I think he's poorly written in this film. Like, his motivation is fucking stupid. And Raiden's motive, like, his character and Raiden's character are the two worst written in the film, from my opinion. Because they're like, hey, there's a fucking tournament that we can't invade Earth. We have to win 10 tournaments. And if we win 10 tournaments in a row, we get to invade Earth. And he's like, hey, we're going to go fucking fuck some shit up, son. It's like,
he's like, how about fuck all that?
Well, why don't you just invade Earth? Like, if you don't have to follow the rules, just fucking invade Earth, Shang Tsung, and stop fucking up with my time here. But
yeah,
anyway, that's, again, I only say it because I fucking love this lore, and they did such a fucking good job in some places that it just cheeses me.
Well, there's sections of this movie. There's scenes in this movie, like we already talked about the first like 10 minutes, but every now and then a scene will pop up where you're like, oh, fuck, that was the shit right there.
Yeah.
Like, I wish they had kept that vibe, that aura, that feeling through this movie. Like, they didn't need this whole Cole storyline. You have enough characters in Mortal Kombat.
Like, really cool
characters. To pick
one
and follow it. Follow Liu Kang through it. Although Liu Kang's not great in this movie, but whatever.
He's, like, a legit martial artist. But, yeah. I mean, again, no disrespect. His acting is weak. Like, he doesn't have solid acting chops. Now, somebody like Chuck Norris, and again, Chuck Norris is the man, and he could beat my ass even today. He doesn't have great acting chops, but he plays he plays within his boundary. He stays in his lane and fucking kills it. He's probably one of the greatest martial arts actors of all time.
Because he plays he plays characters who don't have to talk that much and are tough guys. And has great lines.
Don't you step on any toes. I don't step on toes, little John. I step on necks. Like, you're just like, holy fuck, what a great line. Chuck Norris is the greatest actor of all time. He fucking just killed that. And then he doesn't talk. He doesn't talk for another 19 minutes. But when he does talk, that motherfucker makes it count. And that's what I think. Like, they just gave Cole, like, so much exhibition. They gave Cole so much exposition that it's just kind of shitty.
Yeah, it was unnecessary in my opinion. I hate telling filmmakers this is what you should have done, but you know, fuck, man, we're just giving our opinions, right? Because we're fans of the game and of the movies and of the characters. So,
but I gotta say,
God damn it,
when Cole takes his family out for ice cream and fucking Jax is sitting there,
dude,
watching, and the snow starts coming, this is another one of those things where I got so fucking amped up. There's just
a
little bit of snow.
The shit.
It's fucking amazing. And goddamn Sub-Zero, who was, like, I played as Sub-Zero over the years. Sub-Zero shows up and does not give one straight fuck about anybody. And he's so badass here, man.
He's so good. Yeah, there's the little scene here where Cole's, just before we get to that, Cole's sister, daughter, is this daughter? This is in his corner?
I don't know. It's like his sister, daughter. I think there's some fucking family shit going on here. Because, like, I was confused through the whole thing.
She gives him a yellow and black bracelet, which is Scorpion's colors, right?
Yeah.
And then Jax comes in to say, hey, what's up, and shows him gets Cole to show him the fucking tattoo thing on his chest. And, you got the mark in just to, you know, Jax is sent there to find him and all that shit. So we get that. And then, yes, they go for ice cream here after the fight with Cole's wife. And I'm assuming this is his daughter. I'm going to call her his daughter. I don't know if I'm right about that or not. I like to think I am. But then the fucking snow starts to fall. And she's outside at, like, a patio table. And his wife and him are inside getting the other ice cream. And the daughter's like, oh, look at this. And Cole sees the snow and he's like, what the fuck? Holy shit. And he walks to the window and the snow's falling. And he's like, hey, look at this. It's snowing. And she's like, what? And he's like, it's July. What the fuck? Yeah. And then the windows, and they see the table from the daughter's perspective, and the ice starts to freeze up the table and around the little condiment stand.
Yeah, man.
And fuck, dude, it's so good. And when she looks up, and, you know, the feeling of you now, like, holy shit, here he comes. Like, fucking, he's coming. And the smoke, and he's standing there in the fucking road.
Dude.
And when he raises his arms, and all the snow starts, and ice and shit starts to fall up.
Yeah, man.
Fuck, dude, it's good.
And he drops his arms, and all of these big fucking huge chunks of ice just come crashing down. There's fucking, like, you know,
and like
ice
taking
flying,
people out,
taking people out, smashing windows, beating up kids, fucking, like, and he is just dropping dropping these ice and dropping these big ice chunks. And, you know, they basically get in the SUV and fuck off. And he is just, like, walking down the street fucking dropping ice
when
on
when Jax pulls up in that SUV and says, get in! And they get in, and then they get the shot down the street again of Sub-Zero raising his arms again, and the ice goes up again.
Yeah, man.
Like, the shot is fucking incredible.
Yeah, it's almost like there were two films. You know, like, hey, of the Coen brothers? Like, this yeah. was like, you know, part of it was done by Goofus, and the other part was done by Gallant.
There's a Highlights magazine reference for all you Canadian people. Yeah.
Anybody read Highlights in the 70s?
Highlights people, anybody? No, just me. All right.
Dead fucking killed. Fucking killed in the 50-year-old Highlights readers.
This is why we are rolling in patrons, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Making those references, man.
But yeah, Jax here is talking and giving Cole the lowdown on what's up and shows Cole that Jax has that marking too.
Again, like, that there's, it's stupid. Like, he's standing there with him. He's like, where'd you get that tattoo? He's like, oh, it's not a tattoo. It's a birthmark. Oh, yeah, well, have a good day, Cole. And then he, like, it's your job to go tell him. Like, I'll just tell him later after ice cream. I don't want to spoil this man's ice cream. Like,
I don't want to spoil his post-fight celebration.
Yeah, like, these are some of the decisions that I'm like, okay, fair enough.
But... the look here when they pull into this alley.
Holy
and the
fuck.
Puddle freezes in front and you see Sub-Zero's feet step out.
Masterful. Like, so there's good. Stuff in this. Like, there's just a puddle in an alley and it just starts to ice over. And then you get that, you know, that cold fog.
Fuck yeah.
Coming up around him. Like, it's not just ice and snow and water. Like, it's all of the forms of condensation and sublimation. Like,
are happening.
Like, simultaneously. Exceptional. And then, you know, I kind of like Jax. He's like, hey, get your family the fuck out of here. I'm going to fight this guy.
Yeah.
Takes out his gun. And there's a scene where the smoke slides.
Yes.
It's in reverse. Follows Sub-Zero into this icy fucking room. This set's not bad. Like, it's not bad. Like, he's inside some sort of building. Everything's caked in ice. But the set's not bad, and basically Jax is going through in the dark. He's got a flashlight on his assault rifle, and there's icicles hanging everywhere. It's pretty cool.
There's a couple cool little Easter eggs here when they're in the alley and Jax is talking to Cole and he says, get out of here, get your family. You need to get and find Sonya Blade. And he says, go to 806 West Washington Boulevard in Gary, Indiana. That's Sonya's address in Gary, Indiana. That's actually the former address of NetherRealm Studios where Mortal Kombat was made.
Yeah, and there was another one too when he first meets him that we skipped over when he said, you took the belt off Eddie Tobias.
Yes.
So, yeah. We forgot to mention that one, too.
Yeah, Eddie Tobias is the first and last names, respectively, of the creators of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Put together, which is pretty dope. And there's another one in here where Jax goes into this building, like you said, where there's ice everywhere. And he's got the like you said, the flashlight on the rails of the gun. And then he gets upstairs where the pillars are and shit.
Mm.
And he's looking around. He's trying to find Sub-Zero. And there's one quick scene where he walks in front of the camera and you can see behind him there's a wall that says, like, Hopper or some shit. Hooper, Hopper, or whatever. But if you look underneath where it says Hopper in spray paint, there's a down arrow, an arrow pointing to the right, and then it says plus LP.
Oh.
Down. Circling from down and up and hitting the left punch button is the code for Sub-Zero's freeze move.
Yeah.
They put that on the wall because he turns around and then bam, Sub-Zero's right there.
Down, quarter, circle, forward, and low punch. That's fucking dope.
It's very, very cool.
And I love this because he turns around and Sub-Zero's like right in his face. Like he's got the shotgun right in his face and he pulls the trigger. And the shotgun pellets come out of the gun, slow motion, frozen in ice. It's
fucking dope.
Great. Like, again, this is why I was like, this is going to be the fucking coolest video game martial arts. Like, they're really going to do this justice.
And that was a throwback homage to the fucking 95 movie. Because you remember in 95 when Sonya put the gun up and Sub-Zero touched it and it froze and he broke it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was an homage to that movie.
Fuck.
But done in 2021 to make it better, which they did. It was fucking incredible when those pellets came out.
Yeah, that was absolutely
dope
incredible.
As fuck. And this fight's pretty good, man. Like, Jax and Sub-Zero have a cool little fight here. Sub-Zero is clearly the better fighter at this point. You know, Jax is like, I did, you know, whatever it was, 7 tours, motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
You know, Sub-Zero's chucking him around like it ain't no thing.
They do give Jax some cool lines in this. The best especially lines later. All go to Kano.
All of them are Kano's.
We'll get on that.
Kano's fucking undefeated with lines.
But I love how he freezes both of Jax's arms. And I mean, it's like, I was like, oh, fuck, what a good way for Jax to lose his arms, right?
Tremendous.
Like, he fucking freezes them, and then the ice kind of, like, explode breaks, and the frozen blood sickle, like,
seeping through the ice.
Like, it's great. Like, I was really impressed with this.
And Taslim just staring at him while he's freezing his arms, just that fucking, if you'll pardon the expression, the cold stare. Of just fucking staring at him. And when he just puts his hand gently on Jax's shoulder and just pushes him off the edge.
Yeah, and pushes him over, yeah.
And then he falls and wham! He fucking slams off the next story down with the rebar sticking out.
Oh my God, yeah.
Slams off that. I was like, Jesus!
Yeah.
And he lands at the bottom like...
That dope shot from below of Taslim standing there. Looking down with his dentine ice fucking eyes. Like, it was it was good, man. It was so good.
The Sub-Zero scenes, the Scorpion scenes are, bar none, the best in the movie. And I'll tell you, the Kano scenes are tremendous, too, because he really pulls it out. And they do a good job writing for him and making him a badass. I just wish they had reformatted the plot to make it work better without Cole. Because, again, they cut back to Cole here, and they don't need this. This is, every time Cole's on the screen, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Why do I give a fuck about this? This guy wasn't in the game. You know what I mean?
Stop trying to make Cole.
Stop it.
Stop
they cut
it.
Out here to Melina. Like, once you see Melina, you're like, okay, Melina looks fucking cool.
And I know, like, we were talking earlier about how they changed the look, and, you know, we're going with something a little bit more grounded. I'm like, fuck, I love the way Sub-Zero looks. I love the way Scorpion looks. And Melina comes across, and she's not wearing her famous mask.
Yep.
Instead of a mask, she's got fucking bloodstains. Like, purple, red bloodstains. But she's got her sai. You know, she's not wearing kind of like the sexy look at my ass outfit.
Yep.
She looks like a fucking monster, man.
Which I kind of dig, man.
I fucking liked it. I really did. And I'm like, well, that costume's not accurate. And I'm like, fuck it. It works, man. It works
in
this world. And
they don't need to be accurate to the game. They need to make it work for the characters. Like Sub-Zero and Scorpion in the first scene. You know who they fucking are.
You know who they are. And Melina, her face is dirty. She's got fucked up eyes. She's got like eye makeup around her. Her hair's all fucked up. She looks scary, man. She looks
great.
I thought they did a great job. I thought they did a great job in her wardrobe and makeup. And accurate or not, I fucking don't care. I thought it was good.
No, I thought it was really good too. And one thing I will say about this is the next scene here. We go back to Cole who finds Sonya. One thing I do like, contrary to the 95 one, is in the 95 one, we're upset at the fact that they took Sonya and made her effectively a fucking teased hair, dress-wearing damsel in distress by the end of the movie, which was fucking stupid. At least in this one, Sonya stays a badass.
Yes.
As much as she is. I mean, she's not the best character in the movie, but...
No, I think she's a little underwritten because...
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's script problems, and I don't mean any disrespect to Cole, and I don't mean any disrespect to the actor that played Sonya. Both of them are weak when it comes to their acting ability.
It seemed, Jessica McNamee plays Sonya here. And I think, again, like you said, I think it was more the script. She's been in 19 films.
Script,
she was in the Meg and stuff. Like, she's been in a bunch of films. But
well, script and direction, too, because it's like, okay, tell me about Sonya Blade. Okay, she's tough. Okay, what else? Nothing. She's tough. So
yeah,
just be pissy. Just be constantly pissy. Like, she doesn't actually go through kind of any arc. And again,
yeah,
when they go inside the house, she's like, come inside the house. He's like, all right. And she's like, yeah, I'm fucking tracking motherfuckers. And he's like, oh. And then he walks by a picture and, like, they're in military fatigues. And he's like, oh, military, eh? And I'm like, well, I saw the picture. Like, this film is, like, fucking spoon-feeding shit to me. It's like, all right, yeah, well, first of all, we know Sonya and Jax are in the military. Secondly, we saw a picture of her in a military uniform. And then Cole goes, military?
Like, she's yeah, she's wearing army green now.
Yeah,
it's in front of
it's
you.
Like, it's like, film stop. It's like, I'm not a fucking child, man. Like, let's do this. This is an R-rated movie.
Yeah, if Cole is supposed to be us, then us as Cole are seeing the picture.
Yeah,
of them in the thing. So you look at it and go, okay, they're in the army. Cool. And, you know, she could off, you know, when he says Jax sent me here, like, I got sent here by Jax. Yeah, Jax and I are in special forces together.
Yeah.
There's your out.
Yeah.
You don't have to make him sound like a fucking handicapped kid.
Yeah.
Do you know, you're in the army?
He's fucking stupid. He's got like an IQ of like 60, like the Forrest Gump level. And she's just got a fucking chip on her shoulder.
However, now we get Kano.
Dude, this is where this Kano fucking just elevates this movie to another level.
Kano, when he says, who are you? And he says, I'm Kano. And she says, he says, Kano what? And he goes, Kano, none of your fucking business.
Yeah, like,
is that Russian? Do I sound Russian to you, you fucking idiot?
Yeah, like, this guy is fucking incredible. So, like, when we were saying earlier, like, oh, I'd watch movies introducing these characters. I would totally watch a Kano, Sonya, Jax film. Like, that would be so fucking good, man.
In a heartbeat. That's Josh Lawson, who plays Kano. He's a really good actor, writer,
and comedian.
He's done a ton of things. He was in Anchorman 2. He played Kench Allenby in Anchorman 2.
Yeah, Kench Allenby. Holy shit.
His timing's fucking awesome. His lines are well-written. He's really good. Because, like, he sees the mark. This is where he sees the mark on Kano's neck. And he says to Sonya as she walks away,
what about you? Where's your marking?
I don't have one.
Yeah, but he goes wah, wah, off camera.
Like, oh yeah, he's not even there. It's fucking
that's
great.
The thing that's so good. Like, anyway, this guy is fucking hilarious. He cracks me up. He really elevates the film.
He does.
Again, like when what this film does right, it does it so right.
And it's hard sometimes because you get two actors here with the Cole and Sonya characters that are kind of, they're okay. Like, they're okay. But Kano fucking kills it.
Yeah, Kano's
and
in another
it's very league. Obvious. He's on yeah. a whole other, he's on a whole other level with his delivery, his intensity. And it yeah. just, it highlights that divide between
yes.
the, I hate saying the talent. I don't know
I,
if that's
I
what
know.
It is.
I know what you mean. Like, I know what you mean. And again, we don't like to, we try to call it as we see it.
I hate shitting on people.
Right?
I really
yeah.
do.
Like we're not like, nah, you can't act. It's just kind of like,
no.
You know, like,
but there's levels.
Like, yeah, there's definitely levels. Just like there's levels in martial arts, man.
Yeah.
And you've got a fucking black belt working with a couple of white belts
yeah.
on the acting scale
yeah.
here. Oh, now I insulted them more by saying white belts, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Purple, green, orange belts, whatever you want to
yeah,
call
yeah.
them. I do kind of dig the reptile, the way they did the CGI for reptile here.
Yeah, it's much better than 95, obviously.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. And I love the way Kano comes out here and uses the acid spit to break the cuffs and then stabs his knife through the fucking road flare and sticks
yeah.
that into reptiles like, aha, there you are, because it's invisible.
Yeah, I really like that. That's like such a Johnny Quest fucking thing to do, right? Like when Johnny Quest
fucking great.
Fought that invisible monster on that island, you know, Johnny
yeah.
Quest threw a bag of fucking paint on it. But yeah, this was so good. Like, you know, Reptile comes out, he lights the road flare, stabs it in his back, and now you've got this predator translucent guy going around with full road flare coming at them. I thought it was done well. I really enjoyed it.
It was done very well, and this is the only movie line, in my opinion, that actually works, because Sonya stabs the knife into Reptile's chest, and then Kano fucking punches through it and grabs the heart out and holds it up and goes, ha! Kano wins!
Yeah. And that...
It fucking works!
That worked, because this guy, Kano, you can envision him saying that.
He's laughing. He's like, ha!
Kano wins.
Holding the heart. Kano wins! Ha!
Yeah, of course.
Look at that. What a fucking beauty! That's what he says. Fucking beauty.
Yeah. Fucking beauty.
So good.
Yeah, and
guy's
of course,
fucking awesome.
In the exchange, he gets half of his face clawed off by Reptile,
and it's so good. That line is awesome. When they're now in the trailer here, the three of them, and they're trying to figure out what's going to happen to each other or whatever. And when Kano says,
no one knows where it is.
Well, I do now. Excuse me.
Where is it?
You got a pen? You want to write this down? Get fucked. As if I'm going to help you. You kidnapped me. You tied me up. You threw a knife in my fucking leg on purpose. And then that lizard thing took off half of my face. Yeah. Lucky for me, you can hardly notice it.
Yeah, lucky for me, you can't fucking tell. His whole face is
or something like that. You can't fucking
shredded.
Notice.
And he just points. He points to his shredded face as he says it. Lucky for me, you can't fucking notice.
Yeah, his fucking face is torn the fuck off. And I love when he walks out here and he chucks the beer bottle and she starts asking him about a price. It's fucking fantastic. This guy
is just awesome for the film. Like, he's the star of this film. Like, he just makes it so entertaining, and I thought he was great. I could watch an entire Kano film.
Yeah. Josh Lawson's fucking tremendous. He looks great. He's very believable as Kano. Like, I totally buy him, because when he makes the turn to being serious, like, we'll get to it, but in a little bit when he's at the table and he's like, do you know who the fuck I am?
Yeah.
And he gives you that, like, I'm Kano with a fucking black dragon. Yeah. Like, you
I'm
believe that he's a badass.
Five countries.
Yeah.
I think that, the three most believable characters in this film are Scorpion, Sub-Zero, and Kano. And they're on a completely different level than everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the rest of them are decent and they would hold up. I love when Kano spits into the fucking palm of that little garden gnome. Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh my god, it's hilarious. And I do like that Sonya fucks with him too, and she's like, 3 million, and he goes back inside and agrees to the 3 million, and Cole's like, you have that money? And she's like, I don't have any fucking money.
Yeah.
I live in a trailer. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. It's all right.
Anyway, Kano's got the pilot. Yeah. He's got the pilot, and they take off and fly to the middle of goddamn nowhere. We get the cool little flash here of Cole on the plane seeing Scorpion with that cool little kunai thing,
tool. Really have to say that that's kind of cool, but it really doesn't serve the story in a meaningful way. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's having these flashbacks, but at no point do these flashbacks aid him in making a decision. I think it's just this artistic thing that's thrown in, but it has no meat and it has no meaning.
It never pays off. It's the exact same thing that we saw in our last week's movie, In the Hunted, with Christopher Lambert's flashbacks.
Yes.
Right? Like, where he had that weird artistic thing with Joan Chen. It never pays off. It never does anything. That's the same as here with him.
Yeah. And actually, there's a lot I like about this. Again, one of the things that I find just kind of insults my intelligence is he's Kano, he's the Black Dragon, and she's like, oh, everybody's been searching for Raiden's temples for years. And he's like, oh, I know Raiden's temple. Run guns out there. You know, it's just like, do you?
Yeah.
Do you really? Like, does the Thunder God need guns? Like,
need an AK? Like, what the hell, man?
Anyway, I thought it was a stretch. Like, all of a sudden, Kano's, like, tied to a chair the whole thing. She's like, where's Raiden's temple? He's like, I ain't gonna tell you. Then suddenly the storyline needs them to get there. So Kano's like, yeah, of course I know where Raiden's temple is. It's like, oh, yeah. It's a good thing this temple's not secret in any way, shape, or form. So that's just, again, like, when this movie is firing, it's fucking 10 out of 10. Like, it is really great. And Kano's character is one of those things that fires on 10 out of 10. But the script, if you look at the writing credits of the writer on this film, it's this. Like, this is his writing credit. This is the first thing that he wrote. So, I mean, they handed him the keys to something that, and, you know, I don't want to tell somebody that, you know, they can't do something, but you're handing him something pretty big and legendary to handle as a first-time writer.
Yeah, it really is. I honestly, I don't mind this fight here between Sonya and Kano.
It's okay, yeah.
I thought it was good. I thought that Jessica McNamee here did a good job. I thought the choreography fit her well, where she's kind of running around him. She grabs his knife really quick and then gets his knife on his neck. And then he has that kind of... Do you remember In the Line of Fire?
I do remember that. That was a great film.
Clint Eastwood and John Malkovich. Yeah. Fucking fantastic film. But when she has the knife on his neck and Kano's saying, come on, do it.
Yeah.
And then he gets more intense, like, come on, do it!
Yeah.
Like, and she can't. It really reminded me of that. Like, he's on the edge and he doesn't give a shit if he lives or dies. Like, he's got that Doc Holliday energy.
He does, yeah.
You know, where it doesn't
and
matter.
He's saying,
him.
Take it, as in, take it, like, take the.
Take my mark.
My mark. But then we get that awesome sunset, which doesn't quite match because, like, they're in the very bright light, and then all of a sudden you see Liu Kang, his silhouette.
Midday.
Yeah, midday. And it's like, oh, look, it's the sunset in the middle of the afternoon. But he shows up.
Yeah, it didn't make sense at all.
And he throws a fireball, and I got to say, I think I prefer Robin as Liu Kang.
Yeah, I think I prefer Robin Chu as well. This guy's not bad. This guy, Ludi Lin, I like him. I think I, like you said, I think I do prefer Robin Chu a little bit better. Ludi Lin's no joke. He's got 21 credits. He was in Marco Polo and stuff and Aquaman and shit.
I don't think the problem is really him, though. I think the problem is the script, because I find both he... Actually, I think a lot of the heroes in the latter part of this film are really underwritten.
Yeah.
I think that they're moving at a pace that's moving so quickly, and then suddenly it's like, hi, I'm Liu Kang. And the thing that I really don't like, again, and it's part of the script, it's not his performance as much, is these three people find him. And he says in the film, he's like, it has been my life's mission to find all the people with the tattoos. And they get inside the temple and there is nobody there. Like, they say, like, the tournament will be before the next full moon. And it's like, you've spent your life looking for the tattoo people and you didn't find one?
Well, to his credit, he's got Jax there, but Jax has no fucking arms.
Jax has no arms.
Right? So he
it's
found
it's a good thing that
guy.
Tattoo wasn't on his fucking shoulder.
or on his forearm, right?
On his forearm.
Like,
ah,
fucking,
fuck.
Like Scorpion's was. You know, like, well, where's your tattoo now, dipshit? Like, yeah, it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked at all. But I do kind of dig this little temple here where they have all the murals up that are showing the past champions.
Yeah, this temple is cool, and it's shit at the same time. Like, what you just said, the murals and the artwork, I thought was absolutely fantastic. But when they get into the central part of the cave and they meet Raiden and they've got those fucking 1960s space 1999 Van de Graaffs fucking in the middle of the temple, you're like, you just like walk onto the set of like another movie. And that's another spot where I was just like, I'm constantly being like pulled into this movie. I'm like, wow. That was so well done.
Yep.
And then I'm constantly kicked out of like a moving car. It's just like, wait,
like, wait
makes,
a minute. What are you
this
doing?
Makes no fucking sense. So again, this movie is just like great for me and then disappointing for me at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very it's sort of a study in contrasts, you know, of like, oh man, this is dope. What the fuck are you doing with that there?
What the fuck is the matter with you? Because I don't understand. And again, like, Raiden will appear, you know, this is kind of where Raiden appears.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of the tournament and the realms and all of these things are discussed. But Raiden has these rules that he says he can't break unless he wants to break them. And then he does. You know?
Yeah. And then the rules go out the window. It's fucking weird. I don't mind. I like the little thing with Kano stealing the thing and Liu Kang, like, put that back.
Oh, yeah, that's the medallion from one of the... I don't know a lot of the later players. I'm only in the earlier games, but that medallion is actually from another character in the Yeah, there's so many freaking characters in this game now, dude. It's so crazy. Like, when we played, it was like,
oh, it was like eight or maybe 10 guys, maybe 12. Yeah.
Now there's like dozens and dozens and dozens. So, like, the hardcore fans that played the games for years, they know them all. But guys like us, the old fucking men, you know, we know the guys from, like, you know, 1, 2, and 3, and that's kind of it. That's kind of where we stopped playing.
Yeah, I mean, I stopped playing this in, you know, what, fuck, 98, maybe even before that.
Mm.
Not 98. Jesus Christ, 96.
Yeah.
I would have stopped playing this, so, you know, it was a while ago. Sonya finds Jax here with his arms blown off, and she's like, holy jumping shitballs, look at you, what
Jesus
the fuck happened?
Christ.
Oh my God. Fuck? And I do like this where Cole and Liu Kang and
you
Kano
throw Jax
in
the water and you call him Bob. Sorry, I cut you out there.
I do like where Kano and Liu Kang and Cole come in and they're followed by Sonya to meet Raiden here.
Yeah.
I don't mind this scene because Raiden fucks with Kano and it makes me laugh.
Yeah, like, Raiden looks pretty cool. I don't care. Like, the three storms from Big Trouble in Little China, that's the best Raiden. Like, you know,
he is the best Raiden. Yeah.
Like, he is the best unofficial Raiden of all time.
Yeah.
But
I do like this guy, though. Tadanobu Asano is his name. He's a fucking good actor. This guy has got 115 credits. He's a good fucking actor.
He's a good actor, but again, I think he falls victim to this script.
Yeah.
Because from the script, not talking about this gentleman's performance, but from the script, Raiden is either an idiot or a coward.
Yeah, or just completely ineffective.
Yeah, completely. He has no agency to do anything until he's needed to do something. But, I mean, God damn it, he's the God of Thunder. Like, and he's the way he portrays himself or the way that he's written, he's ineffective and castrated, really.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I have such high hopes for Raiden, especially after the opening scene here. But then, you know, it just gets squashed down. I dig the scene here with Liu Kang meditating, and then his flame goes out and Sub-Zero comes in.
That is a really nice scene.
Again, it's a Sub-Zero scene, so it fucking rules.
Well, yeah. Joe Taz, like, he could do a Sears catalog suit photo shoot.
Yeah.
And it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Right?
It's tremendous. And then this is where we get the appearance of Kung Lao, where he pops
it's
up in the hat.
It's a pretty great entrance, I have to say. Like, the fact that he gets hit with a hat, and you're like, oh my God. Like, and the
oh
way
God,
he
it's
comes
Kung
up
Lao!
Through the... When he comes up through the floor as his entrance, spinning, like, right out of the game, really well done. Really,
super,
like,
super well
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 on that appearance.
And now you have Shang Tsung and Sub-Zero and Mileena walking in to confront Liu Kang and fucking Kung Lao. And, like, this has all the makings of being epic. But then they kind of fuck it up.
They really fuck it up. And that's what's upsetting, because Raiden appears and he is like, hey, and this is where their whole rules like completely fall apart.
Yeah.
Where you're not allowed to come to Earth and attack. You have to win 10 tournaments in a row. And he's like, well, I'm going to go to Earth and fucking attack. And he's like, no, you're not allowed. I'm Raiden. And he's like, well, too fucking bad.
Like,
I'm going to
suck
do it anyway.
On these nuts, Raiden.
And then Raiden basically, like a child, goes, I've got a shield. And puts a fucking shield up.
Well, yeah, we'll try and get through this.
Try and get through my shield. And it's disappointing. Like, it's just disappointing.
I enjoyed the special effect, but the special effect led to basically a wall. And, you know, Shang Tsung's like, oh, that's not going to protect you. I'm going to kill all your guys and fuck the tournament. How about that?
Yeah.
And then they leave and you're like, well, like, this is not a get around for the tournament, or it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, I don't know. It's just, it leaves you feeling wanting.
Well, it's like there's the, in the script, the physical wall, but also the script hits a wall in this moment.
Yeah.
Because,
a metaphorical wall here. Yeah.
You know, you've got Raiden, you've got Shang Tsung, Mileena, Kung Lao. They're all there. And you're like, oh shit, this is going to be a fucking epic fight scene.
Yep.
But it's almost like, that was planned, and they're like, we ran out of money. We gotta just, what the word are we gonna do? Put up a force field.
Just put up a wall of some kind.
Put up an invisible, invisible barrier.
The Death Star shield. Yeah, they gotta drop that now. They need to get around that.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, they gotta drop that shield, like the forest moon of Endor. So, you know, and that again, that was another disappointment. And I'm okay with like a setup and a payoff later, and they kind of do the payoff, but again, my problem is that they're creating these rules of the tournament that really have no meaning. Like,
yeah.
If that was the case, why doesn't Shang Tsung bring his whole army in now? Like, if he's allowed to just go in and fucking kill Earth fighters before the tournament.
Yeah, have his warriors like come flying like, in and just kill these fucking people.
Why don't you just bring everybody?
Yeah.
You know, bring a whole bag. Bring everybody.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of makes no sense. It falls apart here. I don't mind the next little scene here where they go out to... See, this is another thing, though, because they changed into this, you know, you got to discover your arcana of your special power. And, like, you know, Kung Lao can appear and throw his fucking hat. And Liu Kang has got the fireball. And these other guys have to find out what their arcana is.
It's a waste of pages, man.
It's a waste of pages because, like, Jax and Sonya and Kano in the game, their powers all came from tech, like technology. Like, Jax's arms are fucking technology. Kano's eye is a fucking laser. Like,
yeah, he's got a half a metal face and a laser.
Yeah, like it's a and dump. Like, to have the fucking thing tear his face off, have Kano leave, and then come back with the laser eye because his black dragon people found some scientist somewhere to put a fucking laser in his head. Like, it's not a hard workaround. Like, this discover your arcana thing is kind of fucking weak, I think.
Well, I think it's fucking weak, and also, like, it's the rules for it are weird because everybody gets a different power, and it's like, well, Jax had no fucking arms, so they put on robot arms, so somehow his spirit took the shitty monk arms and turned them into big fucking cannons. It's like, oh, okay, that's all just right. Like, you know, like when a ghost shows up in a dress, all ghosts should be fucking naked, right? So
right?
It's just that type of, it's just that type of logic. But they try to beat up Cole, like Kung Lao is now fighting Cole.
Which is a decent little fight. I like the choreography.
Get his arcana. It's not bad. I like it for Kung Lao because I fucking like Kung Lao.
Well, listen, Max Huang plays Kung Lao, and both him and Ludi Lin, who plays Liu Kang, they both started out with Jackie Chan's stunt team. That's where they came from. So they're bad motherfuckers. Like, they know what they're doing on screen. Max Huang trained with a guy named Wang Peng Cheng of the Shanghai Wushu team. Like, he's a bad motherfucker. He was in Police Story with Jackie Chan. Like, he knows what the fuck he's doing in movie fighting and real fighting. He's a badass. So these guys know how to fight. When Liu Kang gets out and does his little center pose flex thing, he is shredded. Like,
oh,
dude.
Shredded like a Julianza.
And it's fucking funny when Kano walks up and is like, no Harry Potter shit, all right?
Oh, yeah. And he does that Mortal Kombat thing in the game.
Well, I was just going to say, I love that he takes Kano with that low leg sweep like three times. Because you could do that in the game and just leg sweep somebody fucking forever until you just re-sweep them.
He's like, oh, you only have one move. And when he goes to do it again and Kano jumps, but he fakes him. And he goes, ah, and then he comes around and Kano just goes, ah, fuck me.
Like, he does it again, but then he stands up and he goes, ah, put a shirt on, Magic Mike.
Magic Mike.
Which is fucking excellent. Like, again, Kano coming through with the lines. It's tremendous.
Kano is amazing. And then, of course, they have these stupid lines, like really, really poorly written dialogue, where Cole's getting patched up by Liu Kang. He's getting stitches and he's like, Lou, how do I find my arcana? And it's like, you just left the train. Like, you literally just left the training field. And that's your next question. And it's the dialogue drives me. Unless Kano's speaking, like, the dialogue, I have a major problem with a lot of the dialogue in this film.
Yeah, it's not well written, I don't think. It really leaves you wanting of like, man, I wish they had given this to somebody who A, was experienced, and B, loved the series. like the game series and everything, and knew all the backstory and could weave this shit together. And like you said, it feels rushed. So either get right to the tournament and have the movie be the tournament, or take your fucking time. Actually, yeah. Really take your time and set the shit take up and time. Play the long game.
Yeah, and don't put as many characters in.
Yeah, and bring them in later.
We're not gonna do a tournament in the film. Okay, what are we gonna do? We're gonna do a goddamn Scorpion Sub-Zero movie, and hold on to your nuts, son. I was like, all right, I'm in. I'm in for that.
I would start to jizz immediately.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you're gonna take your time. Like, oh, Jax's little spaghetti arms here are hilarious looking on him.
I know, they look so funny because he's got like a massive chest, but he's got like Pee-wee's Big Adventure fucking arms. and he's just like hitting the bag. He should be like, ha-ha, I'm hitting the bag. It's the effects aren't bad. Like the effects aren't bad, like of him hitting the bag. It looks funny, and it's supposed to, because he's got these little ass arms, and everybody knows Jax has fucking
yoked
metal Hogan arms. Yeah, so
yeah. And again, this is another scene where the dialogue is a little off for me. Like,
oh my,
they don't sound like two special forces operators working together.
No, like, he's like, I remember there was a man that I was in fucking, they always name some place. I was in fucking the jungles of Romania and I was feeling down.
Jungles
and a man came up and said, get going, soldier, you motherfucking useless twat. And I got up and finished the mission.
That stuck
that
with
man
me forever.
Was you. And that person, that useless twat, was me. And, and he's like, yeah, thanks, soldier. And like, they have this stupid moment like that no two people actually have. It's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, they could have had 100 different moments, but they had to do this stupid faux motivational speech bullshit.
Yeah. At least that one, that scene leads into this dinner scene, which I quite like, because again, Kano gets to fuck with Jax and says, hey, mate, you gotta be kidding me. Those come in men's sizes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those come in men's sizes.
And then he goes, hey, pass us an egg roll. Hey, Kung Pao. Give me an egg roll.
Yeah, he calls him Kung Pao.
But then Kung Lao starts to fuck with him and is like, you're a terrible fighter.
Maybe you should lay off the egg rolls. Seeing how you wouldn't be ready to fight if you had 100 days to train. I'll dump it down for you, fat lazy pig.
What did you say?
Terrible fighter. Zero skill.
Yeah.
And Kano, this is where Kano turns on the fucking darkness. You got a death wish, mate? Like, he starts really going at him.
He really starts ripping into him.
But it's good, man. Like, I like this, where Kung Lao fucks with him to the point of really getting him up agitated.
Failure. Fucking failure.
Let me educate you, motherfucker. I'm Kano of the Black fucking Dragon. And who are you two, huh? You some fucking cave dweller here be twirling his anal beads, taking orders from this wushu wanker who wears a hubcap as a helmet. Now sit down, shut up, and pass me a fucking egg roll.
Kano says something to the effect of, like, how about I take that stupid sombrero of yours
and
shove it so far up your ass you start speaking Spanish. Like, he's so good. And then Liu Kang starts going, he goes, hey, why don't you try being one of them silent monks? Like, his dialogue is fantastic.
I'm curious. Like, his dialogue is good
enough.
You're
saying what I'm about to say. Yeah.
Okay, no, go ahead then. What are you going to say?
No. You continue.
Well, I think that his dialogue, I think somebody wrote this, whoever wrote this script, I forget the guy's name who wrote it, but I think then they gave it to a comic for Punch-Up.
Well, Josh is a comic. The guy that plays Kano is like a comic and an improv actor.
Well, that's him then. Yeah.
I think it's him.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's doing a lot of his own dialogue.
Yeah. I think
it's leaps and bounds above everybody else. Well, no, I shouldn't say everybody else, because whoever wrote the dialogue for Scorpion and Sub-Zero
it's great.
In feudal Japan or wherever they were.
Yeah.
That was great dialogue. He's like, you know, I might not understand your words, but know this. I'm going to kill your ass with my motherfucking gardening tool, bitch. You know, and it's really good. And then he starts talking about Kung Lao is... got like the beads, and he's like, oh, no, Liu Kang's got the beads, yeah. And he's like,
I'm gonna some fucking cave dwelling hippie twirling your anal beads.
Yeah. It's so good.
Like, I would be shocked and amazed if that was not an ad lib by Josh Lawson. Like, and just, you know,
yeah.
You fucking wanker wearing a hubcap for a helmet. Like, fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, fuck you. And he basically, the anger builds up so much that he learns his arcana. And a laser shoots out of his eye because magic.
Because magic has to happen. Yeah, it's fucking silliness. And we go back now again to the, I think we're back in the arena here, are we not? Where they're trying to find Cole's arcana again. And he gets out here to get fucking pounded in the arena by Kano.
He's just like, pain is a catalyst to unleashing your arcana. It's like, oh. Well, that's the first I've heard of this. So Kano just straight kicked the ever-loving shit out of him.
And I love his powers show up. I love Kano's line. Like, I think I saw a bit of Arcana. There, give me one more shot at it.
Yeah. I think I saw a little bit of Arcana. Like,
and then he just fucking pounds him again.
He's like, "You're right. Nothing's happening."
Like it's as much as we are shitting on this movie a little bit here. Listen. The Sub-Zero Scorpion plot and Kano are completely fucking worth the price of admission.
Oh, that's what's frustrating to me about this movie is because there are 10 out of 10 moments in this where you're like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And I felt a lot the same way about Batman, Superman, Dawn of Justice. There's parts of that movie where I was like, I'm going to fucking fly to Hollywood and kick the shit out of Zack Snyder. And there's other moments where I'm like, fuck, Batman used his grappling hook and threw a crate and crushed a guy's fucking head. That was perfect. I loved that. So I'm passionate about this. And when it's on point, I love it. And when it's off point, I'm like, you fucks, why are you ruining this perfect movie?
God damn it. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. Raiden, I should actually point out, they were looking at Ronda Rousey to play Sonya in this movie.
Okay.
And they were also looking at Trish Stratus to play Sonya.
Oh, jeez. I'm torn on that.
I know, right?
Trish Stratus would come to the game with a lot better acting.
Yes.
Acting-wise than Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of Ronda Rousey.
Oh, I'm a fucking huge fan of Ronda Rousey.
Her acting is a little soft, so... It's again, if you can't act, but they write the character kind of in that small lane,
you can
get away with it. I mean, look at Schwarzenegger, his first movies.
Yeah.
Stand here and be pissed off and don't
be annoyed
or smile. Be the Terminator.
He's a Terminator, right?
Just be a robot.
Yeah.
All right.
Sarah Connor. Yeah, so they could have pulled that off. They were looking at Vin Diesel, I think, for Shao Kahn, which doesn't make much sense. I think
that
I mentioned to you they were looking at Scott Adkins to play Nightwolf.
I'd watch Scott Adkins do any role.
Anything.
I'd watch him play Shiva in this movie, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah. They were looking at Megan Fox to play Katana. I don't know if that would work. I don't think that would work.
It depends, because the way that they have Melina portrayed in this, she's not really acting. She's just walking around looking really badass.
Yeah.
She's kind of that side character. But I got to tell you, like, that first Katana in the first movie, that character in so many ways was so goddamn useless the way she was written. She was beautiful, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And she's just like, Liu Kang. And she's like whispering secrets. Like, think about winning. And it's just
water.
Oh,
like, what?
Thanks.
What?
Think about an element that will stop the ice god.
Wait, what?
Fuck. And he's looking around and he's like, maybe it's water. And Raiden comes in carrying buckets of water.
It's
like
a fucking episode of Blue's
just
Clues.
Me. Yeah, Blue's Clues. My name's fucking Steve coming out. Again, that was the stuff that annoyed me from the 95 film.
Okay, we got to move on here to this scene because this scene's important where we flash to Outworld here, and Shang Tsung is here with the three characters that didn't do well in the game. We have
Nitara
and Reiko and Cabal.
Yeah.
And then the tease of Goro with the shadow coming out, which was kind of cool. I didn't mind that. I thought that was kind of neat. Those were never characters I played with. I vaguely remember Cabal.
I remember Cabal.
I don't remember the other two, though.
They were a little bit later.
Yeah.
I think Cabal came out. People are going to be jumping through the computers to punch me out. You fucking idiot.
I know, right?
I think Cabal came out in 3.
Was it?
Yeah.
I do remember Cabal. He was a cool character.
MK3. But I like the actor that does at least his voice acting in here. I thought he was kind of funny. He's like, yeah, Kano, he's a complete fucking asshole.
Yeah.
You'd love him.
There's two actors here. Daniel Nelson plays Cabal, like in the suit, and a guy named Damon Harriman does the voice.
Okay.
And Damon Harriman was in Mindhunter, and he was also in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and in both of those he plays Charles Manson.
Oh, God, yeah, okay.
So that's the guy that plays Charlie in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Great. And I remember watching Mindhunter and thinking, holy fuck, this dude that plays Charles Manson's good. Like,
yeah, he was good. Tremendous. Scary as fuck.
That's this
guy. And then our Reiko is that big mofo. Nathan Jones that was just in that.
He was in Fearless.
One that we just covered.
Yeah, he was
Fearless.
Yeah. Fearless. He played that big wrestler motherfucker that almost got his head caved in.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's him. So yeah. And anyway, Cole is like, I don't have anything. I can't find my arcana. I suck. And then Raiden's like, how about you fuck off and go home, you little pansy? And gives him the little window to go home. But Shang Tsung sends fucking Goro here. Now, this pisses me off, too, because, like, Goro is the Shokan. And in the lore of Mortal Kombat, fucking Goro kills Liu Kang to win the first tournament. And then he wins the next 8 tournaments. Like, Goro's the reason they've won 9 tournaments in a row.
This, for me, this was a waste of Goro. Like, this was a complete
total waste
of Goro in this film.
Can I just say this black fucking smoke where Shang Tsung comes out into the tournament, into the practice arena, is dope as fuck?
It is.
I really like that. Where Kano comes out with the bad guys.
Yeah, reveal that Kano is now working with the guys from Outworld.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off on Goro there. I just had to say that smoke was cool as fuck.
No, they, like, some of the effects in this film are fucking spot on.
Yeah. Well, and this fight is cool.
And Kano, well, of course, we should mention that Kano actually has the conversation with Cabal, and he drops the force field.
Yes.
To let all the Outworlders into the temple. It's like, oh, no, the bad guys cheated. It's like, yeah.
It's like the really rottens in the fucking Laugh Olympics.
Like, yeah, the Yogi Yahooies.
The Yogi Yahooies, the Scooby Doobies, and the fucking really rottens. Like, of course the really rottens are going to cheat every time.
Yeah,
like,
they cheat every fucking Saturday, dude.
I don't mind the CG Goro. Like, I honestly don't mind him. I just don't like the way they make him fight Cole here and make him lose, like, right away. And Cole's arcana thing is fucking silly, I think.
Cole's arcana is fucking stupid. There's so much wrong here.
Yeah.
Again, like, where this film is right, it is great. And the fact that you take this brand new guy, Cole, who doesn't even have any superhuman powers at this point.
Yep.
And now he's fighting fucking Goro in his first fight. This is his first actual fight.
Yeah.
He's fighting Goro.
The 9-time champion of the tournament. Yeah.
And the other thing that I really disliked about, I don't mind the CG look of Goro. I think he's okay.
Yeah.
But Goro doesn't have any mass or weight, and Goro doesn't live in our world where physics makes sense, because what would Goro be? A fucking 1,000 pounds?
Oh, Jesus.
800 pounds? 900 yeah. pounds?
Yeah.
Like, he's massive. He's gonna be massive. And Cole fucking does, like, a leg takedown on him. It's like,
yeah,
that's not gonna happen.
That's, like, not gonna work. That's like tackling a tree.
Yeah, I work with fucking animals. I can't move a cow that doesn't want to be moved, right? And that thing is docile as fuck.
Yeah.
And he just rolls in and grabs his leg and takes him down. But while that fight's, and this is actually a good part, this is where the movie amps up and gets your attention again.
Yes.
Which should have happened when they first showed up.
Yes.
Like, this should have happened when they first showed up, because now Melina's fighting Sonya. It's not a bad fight.
Not a bad fight at all. And Cole, I love
fighting Goro.
Yep. I was going to say, I love when she stabs Sonya with the sai and she licks it and says, this isn't the blood of a chosen one, or whatever she says.
Yeah.
Like, she can tell it by tasting her blood. Fucking awesome.
Yeah. It is pretty awesome.
Jax is fighting Reiko, and Reiko hammers Jax into that fucking stone wall.
Oh, yeah. There's a couple wire poles and some throws and stuff through here where they've got what would be like stones or columns and pillars and stuff.
Yep.
And they get thrown through it. And you've got a really cool fight with Cabal and Liu Kang.
Yep.
Again, I think Kung Lao is probably the best, because Kung Lao's got these real cool kung fu moves.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, doing crane type lifts with his knees. He's throwing his hat. And then, honestly, the most brutal part of the entire film, Netaro comes flying in.
Yep.
And because Kung Lao is about to fight Shang Tsung, and he's like, no, you're beneath me. You can fight Netaro. And
he does.
He does the fatality, takes his fucking hat, turns it into a table saw, and basically rides her like a fucking canoe over the thing and bisects her.
That shit was insane. She goes face first into his goddamn hat and mid-sagittal cuts her right down the fucking middle, and then puts his hat back on.
And then he puts his hat back on. Yeah, drenched in her blood. It was a great shot. And honestly, the CGI here looks good, because her body is kind of bumping and writhing. Like, she looks like she has weight. And
yeah.
I think that's one of my problems with computer-generated graphics, is they seem light. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, very
light
much.
Is in their weight and mass.
Yeah, especially
and
Goro.
And I think Goro's a little bit like that. Yeah, Goro's like that. Goro would be so goddamn heavy. That's one of my issues with Superman. Like, Superman would weigh a shit ton because he's, like, super dense. Like, he has physical body like us, but he's super dense. That's why bullets bounce off him.
Yeah.
So Superman would be probably fucking 1,200 pounds. And
yeah.
Goro is so massive that he should, like, the world should kind of shake a little bit more.
Well, and, like, when they get in the truck and they drive and he, like, stops the truck, like, he would ruin that truck.
Oh yes, he just puts his hands on it and pushes it down. But like, do you ever see a truck hit a moose? Like,
yeah,
like a moose. Like, now we're talking about Goro. Like,
yep.
Goro would fuck the ever loving shit out of that truck.
Well, and I'm thinking about even another movie with CGI, like Hellboy.
Yeah,
remember when Hellboy punched the front of that fucking truck that came at him?
Yes,
and that shit just flipped up and over, or the Matrix or something. Like,
yeah,
the front end of the truck should have gone down. But anyway, now we find Cole's Arcana, which is his little Iron Man suit or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah,
and this is where he does the leg takedown.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, I don't know, man. I wasn't happy with the Goro fight. And, you know, you can say what you want about the 95 animatronic suit look fake as hell.
Yeah.
There were parts of that 95 film that were half decent.
Yep.
And this Goro looks like a PlayStation Goro. Like, well, I don't at any moment believe that there's a real creature on the screen. Like the Hulk. The Hulk in the MCU, they did a pretty good job with him. Like, he's running up the buildings, and as he's running up buildings, like, the bricks are falling, or you know, he's jumping on cars and they're getting crushed. Like, you know, like, he's interacting with the world, and I feel that we just came up short with his Goro.
Yeah.
And you can't do him right, just, I'm fine. Hey, there's no Goro in this one. Save him for the next one.
Save him for later. Play the long game. Goro should not be the first fight for anybody.
No.
Like, again, he's the fucking 9-time champion of this tournament. Like,
even in the last film, before he fights Johnny Cage, for some reason, he just fights 5 guys.
Like, he fights a bunch of guys. Remember,
he
pounds out a bunch of those dudes on the gravel before he gets to the black dude before he fights Johnny Cage.
Oh, yeah. Even they were goddamn Shang Tsung's henchmen.
Yeah.
He just iced like 4 of those guys. And then he killed the black guy, and then he fought Johnny Cage.
Johnny Cage threw him off the goddamn cliff. But fucking Cole makes pretty short work of him here once he gets his little bladed tonfa things.
Yeah, like, I think that was, I know he's not real, but I think that was borderline disrespectful to Goro to have him go out like that.
Yeah, it really was. I don't know. It's weird. I didn't like
and
that.
And I hate Cole's arcana. I hate his powers.
I don't like
He's wearing a fucking breastplate from, like, fuck, he looks like Perseus or some shit. It's just like, god damn it.
Yeah. And, fucking, we go back here to the aftermath of the fight with Shang Tsung's henchmen and everybody, and Jax is trying to lift this big-ass rock off of Sonya, and this is where he gets his arcana, because...
This is where they don't understand weight, because Goro is too light, but there's a fucking giant boulder on Sonya.
Yeah, there's a car on Sonya.
Jax gets his arcana, like his little baby Disney fucking arms turn into super arms, and he lifts the giant rock off of Sonya, and it's like, hey, the fact that the rock was on her is not necessarily the problem. The fact that the rock was on her and would have crushed her to death. Like, he lifts the rock off her, and she's like, oh, thanks for getting that giant rock off me.
Thanks.
Well, I'd better stand up now and start using all my limbs as if they were not just crushed a moment ago.
Well, yeah. It's like that Ron White routine where he talks about working out in a hurricane, and where he says it ain't that the wind is blowing, it's what the wind is blowing.
Yeah, that's right. I don't care how tough you are, if a goddamn
you get hit by a
wagon,
Volvo,
yeah, or whatever it was. Yeah, but that's what I found so ridiculous. He's like, oh, thank God you got that rock off me. Like, she doesn't even have her arcana yet.
No, because she doesn't have a fucking thing yet, right? She doesn't have the mark yet, right?
And then Raiden's like, Raiden fucking starts talking some shit to Sub-Zero. He's like, oh, by the way, Scorpion's ancestor's still alive. It's that fucking guy right there. And then he's like, peace, and tries to fucking leave. And he sends everybody through a portal except for Kung Lao and Cole.
Yes. Well, Liu Kang's still fighting here.
Yeah, Liu Kang, yeah. But he gets rid of some of them.
But then he sucks the fucking soul out of Kung Lao and kills Kung Lao. Like, god damn it.
Again, you guys punked out on Kung Lao.
Fuck, like, man.
What a shitty way for him to go.
Like, and not even in a fight.
This is, yeah, like, that's a finishing move.
Yeah. Like, he should have to fight for that. Fuck, man. Like, god damn it.
But
like,
then Liu Kang is like, oh no, it's Kung Lao, my best friend of all time, who I actually have not had a conversation with in this film. They've been on the screen at the same time, but I don't believe at any point that they have a conversation. And this is the part that really chaps my ass, because Raiden shows up in this entire, like, whitewashed room, and everybody's there, and they're like, where are we? He goes...
Where are we?
We are in the void. It is the realm between your world and mine. Shang Tsung cannot follow us here.
And it's like, well, why didn't you take them all there in the first place?
Train
you
there.
Asshole in a hat. Like, train in this place.
Build the training facility here, dip
like
shit.
Shang Tsung is technically not even supposed to be able to come to Earth. But anyway, like, oh, he can't come here. And then, like, everybody's sad, and of course, it's Cole, the new guy, that's got to be like, they're like, oh, fuck, we might as well all quit. We suck dick. We're terrible. I want to kill myself. I just want to shove a fucking pack of camels up my ass.
Sad.
Everybody's sad. And then Cole's like, hey, I'm going to give a motivational speech like he's fucking YK Kim. And everyone starts turning around. They're like, oh my God, yeah, Cole is right. Yeah, let's all continue to fight.
That guy that quit and went back to his family and just came back eight seconds ago.
Yeah.
Wow,
let's
we should
listen
to him.
This guy. And like when they all decide to go their separate ways, he's like, all right, this is what we're going to do. And this is why I really feel that this movie insults my intelligence so much. Because he's like, Sonya, you go back and you take out Kano. Oh, and by the way, he's got a laser beam eye. Watch out for that. And it's like, yeah, we know.
Yeah. We were there when it happened, dickhead.
We were all there.
Like, literally, Sonya was in the fucking room.
What is your arcana? Being stupid as fuck. Because I think that's what your arcana is, Cole. Being a stupid fuck. Like, just pointing out ridiculously obvious things. Oh, yeah. I was totally not concerned about that laser eye until you mentioned it, Cole. Really appreciate it, because I was just going to fucking, you know, spread my ass cheeks and let him blast that laser full bore right into my fucking right into balloon knot. And he just,
fuck's
like,
sake.
Fuck. It's like, stop thinking that I'm an idiot. I know Kano has a laser eye. I've known it for 30 fucking years.
Yeah, it's annoying. But now we get the split-up fights here where Cole and Liu Kang have to fight Cabal and Melina, and Sonya goes back to kill Kano, and fucking we get the Jax and Reiko fight on the bridge there.
Yeah.
And, like, the fights aren't actually that bad.
They're not. The teleportation that they do is pretty good. Like, Melina's teleportation effect, like, that was her thing in, you know, when she was introduced in MK2. She could do, like, a teleportation where she dropped through the floor and came down and it did a kick.
Yeah.
They do that quite good here. Like, they really do. Cabal, like, his moves are pretty good. Reiko Jax is actually a decent fight, too, with the hammer. None of it's, like, really great. Like, oh my god, that's the best I've seen. But the fact that they took the moment and put them on the bridge in the pit, Jax and Reiko, I was like, that is awesome. Like, that's one thing that I think this film is lacking is some of the sets. Like, they don't build the classic sets. And I appreciated, even though it's just, like, a little bridge with a bunch of fucking tiki torches on it.
It looks cool, though, and I appreciated Jax's finishing move, where he claps his head and boom, blows up Reiko's head, and he's like, yeah, these motherfuckers work. Like,
yeah, these work, yeah. It was good. I liked that.
And the Sonya Kano fight in the trailer here, reminiscent kind of the trailer park fight in Kill Bill Part 2.
Yes.
Kind of reminiscent
of that. Or the trailer fight in Raising Arizona between John Goodman and Nicolas Cage.
Arizona.
Which was probably the funniest trailer park fight I've seen in my life.
Ever.
By far. Like, especially when he raises his hands. He goes to get him with the double axe handle, and his fucking hands scrape across the ceiling stucco.
Yep.
He's like, ah! So, yeah. That's one of my favorite trailers. Like, it's not even a martial arts movie. But it's awesome. So now Sonya, it's decent. Like,
I
it's
don't
not,
mind it at all.
It's not too bad. Like, it's not, oh my god, that's like a fantastic fight scene. But it's competent. It's pretty decent.
Yep.
You know, Kano gets his head bashed off the toilet.
And he's legitimately chucking her around and slamming her into shit.
Yeah.
And her moves are choreographed well for her.
It's her best fighting.
Absolutely.
In the entire film. Like, she kind of comes out and shines. I do kind of like how they don't play it that, because she doesn't even have any powers at this point.
No.
They don't play it like she's stronger than Kano. Like, Kano actually gets her and starts choking her out.
Yep.
And she actually picks up a garden gnome, the one that Kano spit on, and basically
that
drives that pointy hat right into Kano's fucking eye, killing him. And then she gets the mark. Now, she gets her arcana right away because we're late in the film and she doesn't have time to train for it. So she just gets hers for fucking free. She just fucking shows up. Oh, by the way, I know mine. I don't need the time. Everybody needed time and some teaching. I didn't. I just got mine immediately because there's only 20 minutes left in this movie. And
yep,
that was it.
And we get Liu Kang and Cabal here with their little fight. And Liu Kang does his bicycle kick on him and does his finishing
move.
Not
bad. I don't know how you'd make that look realistic.
Yeah, it's not my favorite, but it never is, and it's really fucking hard to do. I don't mind
it's hard to make it look real.
The dragon finishing move.
The dragon finishing move was pretty friggin' cool.
Yep. Kills Cabal with the dragon. I didn't mind that at all. And then Sonya shows up here, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, next, and chucks some rings at Melina.
Yeah, she's got her, I forget what they were called, her power rings.
Something like
that. They called them in the first game.
Melina looks fucking badass. Like when she opens here and screams and her fucking jaw tears open.
Yeah, I love how they did that. Great. I love how they did that.
You know, Jean-Claude Van Damme's daughter auditioned to be Melina.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she auditioned. You can see there's a scene apparently in Jean-Claude Van Damme, like a documentary on him, where you can see his daughter training to be Melina in the background. She didn't get it. This other actress, Sissy Stringer, got it.
But she did a great job.
She did, man. She was good.
I don't even think she has any real dialogue other than like, this isn't the blood of a whatever of a champion. But yeah, they actually do the Sonya's finishing move where she blows through her body and everything is there. Everything is gone except the spinal cord.
Yeah,
I thought that was great. And she's just like, oh, by the way, I got my Arcana.
Yeah, little parting gift from Kano.
Parting gift from Kano.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. I stuck a gnome in his eye.
But then Sub-Zero shows up at Cole's family's place. And again,
yeah,
dope as fuck.
His reveal is amazing. Because she walks by the front door, grabs her purse, and then walks by again immediately. And he's standing in the fucking window.
Yep.
Like
Jason.
Again, that's not even a fucking... Yeah, that's not even like a special effect. That's just like, go... Joe just steps into frame when the camera's pointed in the other direction, but it's really effective. It's really good.
But man, when the black smoke comes and Sub-Zero walks out to where Cole is and he's got the bracelet.
Yes.
And he freezes it and then crushes it and then walks away again. And now we're in the final. Cole follows him back through the black smoke. And now we're in the ice coated MMA ring for the final fight here. And this fight's the shit, like between him and then, oh man. When they start to fight and Sub-Zero reaches up behind him and looks into his hand while the ice forms.
Yes.
And then he slams it into Cole's chest. That's fucking cool, man. Like,
it's really cool. Like, fucking Joe Taslim, like, is perfect for this role. Like, he did such a good job.
And the choreography is amazing.
A good job. Well, the choreography is amazing and he pulls it off so well. Like you said, he looks back and just kind of creates this kind of like ice spear sickle thing.
Yeah.
And then drives it into him. Like it's awesome. There's like moments throughout this fight. I mean, you know, we can talk about it cause it's a good fight scene.
It is.
It's setups and payoffs. And at the beginning of this fight, we're not quite getting the payoff because it's Sub-Zero that kills Scorpion at the beginning, but it's not until Scorpion shows up, do we really get the fight that we want?
Speaking of Scorpion showing up,
yeah,
Cole pulls out the kunai, and Sub-Zero looks at the blade of Hanzo.
The blade of Hanzo. Get over here!
And you hear the "Get over here!" Like,
yeah,
fuck, man! Like that was cool.
So, it was really cool. And now he shows up, and he's, you know, full Scorpion in his Scorpion costume. And I gotta say, I really like the costume choices here.
I really love the costume choices. I love Scorpion again. Hiroyuki Sanada is fucking badass. Joe Taslim is badass. These two need their own movie. They need it. That needs to happen.
Yeah.
And when Scorpion takes off his mask and says, "Remember this face."
Oh, like, and his teeth are gray and shit.
Oh, fuck, man. He's like, "I'm Scorpion now. You're fucking dead. Remember I said I was going to kill you? Here it comes." But then fucking Sub-Zero makes the sword out of ice.
Yes.
That fucking badass sword. That was made out of like a resin. They made that sword out of resin and they put like plastic wrap shit inside to make it like glisten. Badass. Like fucking badass.
Like, when he creates the sword, it's amazing. Like he's holding his hand out and just kind of creates it.
Yeah.
And it's got actual weight to it. Like it's a real prop.
Yeah.
And when Sub-Zero slices Scorpion and the blood flies out and Scorpion freezes it into a goddamn dagger and stabs him with it. Oh my God. I was freaking. I was like, I can't believe we're seeing this in a movie and not a video game.
I know. It was un-fucking-believable. Like, I loved it. And then Sub-Zero makes the ice wall, and Scorpion throws his dagger through it. And like you said before, Sub-Zero moves out of the way. But unlike before, when Scorpion retracts it and it cut Sub-Zero's face, this time he catches it.
Yeah.
It's fucking great, man. Like, it's really good.
They even do the thing in the video game where Scorpion moves in. Sub-Zero, like, flips back but leaves a little ice clone of himself.
Yes.
That Scorpion, like, slices with the samurai sword, but Sub-Zero's already moved back.
It's
like,
so fucking good, man.
Like, this whole thing is fucking great. This is worth the price of admission.
But yes.
That's the thing. This movie's at... This scene is at a level much, much higher than all the other scenes.
Oh, like, it's so far above. They go down into the MMA cage, and Scorpion sees Cole's wife and daughter frozen against the cage, and they flash back to his wife and son.
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, fuck! And then...
He's like, fuck this asshole. Has been freezing families for centuries. I'm gonna end this tonight.
And I really like here where... Cole and Scorpion are fighting Sub-Zero. Fucking cool fight, but Sub-Zero tears off his suit, and he's in the black ninja suit, which in the game, when Sub-Zero dies, he's resurrected as that noob Cybot who wears the black ninja suit.
Yeah.
Like, he's wearing the noob Cybot uniform. It's fucking great, man. Like, this is really good.
And at this part, like, when the movie's hitting the 10 out of 10 shit that we talk about,
like,
it
right
doesn't
now.
Treat the audience like a fucking asshole.
Yes.
Like, we're like, holy fuck, he's, because they say he's Bi-Han, and Bi-Han becomes Noob Saibot. Like, they're not like, oh my god, it's Noob Saibot now. Like,
yeah.
They don't treat you like you were a fucking child. Like, they just let it happen.
Yeah.
And he is so fucked up, and... Joe Taslim does an amazing job because he pulls his mask off and he's like panting.
Yeah.
And he's bleeding out his mouth and all that shit. It's just really cool.
It's tremendous. He gets hit with the Scorpion chain blade and Cole throws him up in the air and fucking Scorpion hauls him back down.
Oh, yeah.
It's tremendous, man. Like, this fight scene.
They fuck him up, but good.
Amazing. And then Bi-Han, Sub-Zero, is fucked up here and Scorpion just says, leave him to me. And Cole fucks off. And then we get the fucking Scorpion finishing move.
Yeah.
Where he takes his... But the line is perfect when he says, you hoped I'd burn in hell. Instead, I learned to control the flames or something like that.
Yeah, I learned... you thought that I would burn in the fires of hell.
Yeah.
But instead, I learned to control them. And then he fucking does the Scorpion finishing move, which is awesome.
It's like, fucking fantastic.
It's cool.
His face, like, even, game, like, turns into the skull a bit?
Yeah, it's kind of melts back. He doesn't go full, like, in the original game, full skull, where he just kind of peels his face off.
But I loved it.
I thought it was great.
I loved it. I loved the armor. I loved everything about this.
Yeah.
Everything. This fucking final fight scene is the shit. This movie starts crazy strong and finishes crazy strong.
Yeah, and in the middle, you're just kind of like, fuck, okay.
Peaks and valleys, man. Peaks and valleys.
Yep.
And then his little flame, Scorpion's little flame disappear after he says, you freed me. And, you know, Cole's with his family now. And you get the ashes of Sub-Zero there, who I assume, if there will be a second movie, which I hope there will be, I hope they redo this and do it better.
Yeah.
He'll
I
come
hope
back
something
as
else
Noob Saibot.
I mean, we've got a lot of characters. Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of characters.
There's a fucking shit ton of characters here. But then, yeah. Raiden pops in here, which, dude, timing, like, maybe show up earlier.
Yeah, and that's the whole issue with anytime they do Raiden in film, he is inept.
Yeah, he's bad timing, man. Or he's, you know.
Inappropriate timing, man.
Inappropriate timing, fella.
I'm here. Oh, the fight's over? I missed it, didn't I?
2 hours too late. You want some bean dip? I'm having dinner
Raiden
now.
Raiden is
like,
basically
done.
Nick from Code of Silence. Chuck Norris kicks the ass out of everybody, and then Nick just shows up.
Wearing a Ridley
of course,
Field
Shang
shirt.
Tsung,
hey.
Shang Tsung just comes strolling in. And he's like,
yeah, like it ain't no thing. Like, how are you on Earth? You're not allowed here.
You're not. That's not how the tournament works. And if you don't have to follow the rules of the tournament, why have a tournament? The tournament is supposed to bring a certain level of, you know, we'll call it civility between the two worlds. Like, you can't attack. You have to win these tournaments.
Well, there's
Shang Tsung's walking around with his dick out, fucking helicoptering, freaking out all the fucking people.
This, I'll tell you, the CG on the smoke that takes all the people down is dope as fuck. I like that.
It is really, like, again, that comes back to the whole thing with weight. Like, that smoke looks heavier than all of Goro.
Yeah, it looks
like the
real.
The way that it kind of moves slowly and just kind of grabs him and pulls him down.
Yeah.
But then Raiden's like, go to fucking Outworld. And he can just
shoot his ass to Outworld.
Bitch, why did you not do that? Like, every time he showed up.
When they showed up the first time. Yeah. He's like, hey, I'm here to kick all your shit. Like, bye.
And then he's like, I'm not even going to fuck with the tournament. I'm just going to bring a whole goddamn army through. He's like, go back to Outworld. It's like, bitch, you just sent him back with his where his army was. Why don't you send him to that white place that he can't fucking leave?
Yeah.
Like, send him there.
Shoot his ass there. What are you doing?
Shoot his ass there. If he can't come and go from that place and you send him there, he can't leave.
Then you can just send him an Uber and bring him back whenever you're ready to start the tournament.
Fuck.
What are you doing?
Yeah, that's where the movie logic, I think, blows. But then, of course, you know, we have that whole thing, and then Cole's back at his locker getting his, I don't know, wrist tape or whatever the fuck he needs out of his locker. And then asshole coach shows up and he's like, oh, so Quitty McQuitterson is finally quitting. You're such a quitter. And it's just like,
I'm not doing that for $200 anymore. Start sucking. I'm
going to
leave.
Start sucking. I'm going to Hollywood.
We get the Johnny Cage tease.
Like, yeah. A lot of fucking quitters go to Hollywood, you quitter fuck.
And then quitter dippity shit.
We get the Johnny Cage in Citizen Cage.
Now, poster. I heard that Lyndon Ashby, who played Johnny Cage in the MK95 version, said that he's going to be back in the new MK as a different character. Now, I don't know if that's going to be in a sequel, if he's going to play John Cage's trainer or whatever. Like, I don't know if what's going to happen with him, if he's even telling the truth or not or what. But that's what I heard. So I'm not, I'm honestly not sure.
I don't know. I thought he did a half-decent job as Johnny Cage. Like, he was a good actor.
Yeah, man.
In that film, I thought he did a good job. Obviously, he's too old to play him now.
Yeah, but he could play, like, a trainer or an agent or, like, something. Like, be in there and part of the universe.
Yeah, put him in.
That'd be cool. But, I mean, they shot their wad on this a little bit too much. Like, you'd almost have to reboot it again or start again. Because,
well,
fucking Kano's dead. Kung Lao's dead. Goro's dead. Like, all these people are dead that are fucking critical.
Yeah. It's so bad that, it's not so bad, but I mean, it is sad that if we get a sequel to this, we can't have Kano.
Yeah. Right? Unless it's a flashback movie, but then you know he dies.
Yeah.
Like,
Kano was awesome.
Kano.
And the nice thing is you can bring Bi-Han back as Noob Saibot, but.
Yes.
God damn, Kano was like the real, like, we had a solid opening and we had a solid close. Honestly, if it wasn't for Kano in that second act, I'll just call it the second act for simplicity.
Yeah.
If we didn't have Kano, this movie would have been a real drag, man. Like, it would have been a real drag.
Yeah. It would have been too flat. Like, you needed that comic element of Kano in there. Otherwise, it just wouldn't have worked. It really wouldn't have. You know, the fights would have been okay, but fuck, man. Nothing would have held it together.
I just found that they didn't have, like, a lot of those characters just didn't have that real star power screen presence. And, like, Liu Kang, I just think that the script did not serve Liu Kang well at all.
I don't think it served very too much of any of them well.
No.
To be honest. Like, other than Kano, who, again, I probably made up half his lines.
Yeah.
On the fly. And then the Scorpion Sub-Zero lines were great. I quite enjoyed that interplay. But, you know, that's subtitles. I mean, that was all Japanese and Chinese. I assume that was Cantonese, right?
Yeah.
I assume anyway. I don't know, but.
You know, I can't speak Cantonese.
I can't speak no Cantonese.
I can't speak Mandarin.
I got a whole lot of nothing. That's what I got.
Yeah. But
so, yeah,
overall,
I mean,
like, this film frustrates me because in some ways it is so good, and where it goes bad, like, again, I would really love to see an on-screen Raiden that's amazing, but
yes,
you know, we haven't seen that yet.
And
I think
competent.
Competent is the most important. Like, Raiden should be the most competent character in the film.
Yeah. Yeah, like, very much so. So,
but
fuck,
this Raiden's,
man,
like, I'm not allowed to do that. Boom. Oh, but I did it two scenes later. Oh, I thought, like, they just create this world where nothing makes sense logically. So if you build kind of these rules, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with you building whatever rules or worlds you want to build. Just stick with, if you put up a wall, like, keep the fucking wall up. Just don't tear it down because you can't write around that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. When you create the world, you make the rules of the world, and then you have to play by those, wherever that takes you.
Well, that's the thing with these new fucking asshole Star Trek movies or TV shows, right? Because, like, you remember The Next Generation? They're like, oh, look at this new thing. It's called a holodeck. They'd never had a holodeck on the original Enterprise.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden these new shows come out that take place, you know, before Captain Kirk, and they're like, hey, let's go to the holodeck. Let's go fuck a monkey on the holodeck, or fucking, you know, eat parfaits with our food replicators. Like, bitch, none of this has been invented yet. Like, I'm not even a Hollywood writer, and I know that 90% of what you're doing is bullshit. Like, you bitches never even watch this show. And that's what I get really frustrated with properties that I love, and then they just fuck with it. So I'm right down the middle on this film, man. Like,
yeah, me too.
It's either fucking 10 out of 10 or it's 1 out of 10 for me, mostly at any given moment.
Yeah, I'm kind of down the middle too. I want to give a couple props to Chan Griffin, who was the fight choreographer for the movie. I think he did a great job, because the fight choreography, I think, on the whole, was really good.
On the whole, it was solid.
And also to another guy, Kyle Gardner, and the whole stunt team, because the stunts were fucking dope.
There was a lot of the stunts, like the crashes, the falls, the wire work, the being thrown through the rocks and stuff.
Good stuff.
I thought was good.
Yeah.
Again, my problems with the film come from the script.
Yeah.
Of, oh my God, there's an 800-pound rock on Sonya's skull. Let's.
And she comes out without a scratch.
I'd better pick it up quickly before it causes some sort of damage.
Well, and that was
to her brain bone
on her before she got the mark and killed Kano, right?
Yeah, before she got her fucking powers.
Just a regular chick.
She's a
special forces badass, but you know,
I don't care. Like, you could take a special forces badass. You could take Bruce Lee, but if you park a Volkswagen on his fucking head, like
he's
dead.
Gonna die.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, goddamn
it.
The
way of the intercepting wheel.
Fuck. Let's roll through this. Let's do acting first.
The acting in this film, I'm going to have to give 3.5 fists out of 5. If we're just talking about, you know, our main characters, that's a 5. There are people in this film that are 100% 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
But I think the acting for some of them brings the average down. Because some of them are at a 2.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to give this 3.5 fists out of 5 for acting, because some people brought the average down.
Yeah, I kind of have to go on the same way. I have to go 3.5 fists out of 5 because, like, I have the exact same reasoning. Like, if you're talking about Hiroyuki Sanada and Joe Taslim and Josh Lawson.
5.
Fucking 5 out of 5. Those three are top of their game. Like,
yeah,
badass. And even Tadanobu Asano, who plays Raiden, his acting is really good.
His acting is good. His character is poorly written.
That's what I mean. Like, his acting, if we're talking acting, he's up there. But the average has to be pulled down a little bit by the rest of the cast, unfortunately, a little bit. Not that they're bad, but it just, they're not at the same level. And it shows when you're out there with, you know, like, you can be... You can be a fucking really good NCAA college level team, but you're going to lose to an NBA championship team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the difference is going to be obvious there. So, all right. So 3.5. What about soundtrack?
Soundtrack, I'm trying to do this without being prejudiced, yeah, because the MK95, like, the soundtrack was amazing. Yeah. Mortal Kombat. And it fit. I mean, it fit 95. It fit the tone of that movie. Bam, 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 bam. Yep. Like, angry rave. I'm on ecstasy. I'm sweating like a motherfucker. The use of sound, I think, is decent. I'm going to give it 3/5 out of 5. There are a few moments in this film where I feel it's a 4, and there are moments in this film where I feel it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to have to give it that average.
Okay. I'm going to go 3.5 fists and stick with the same thing I gave last time. I like it. I think it's good. I frankly, it didn't stand out to me as being like, oh my God, the soundtrack really adds to this, except in that opening 10 minutes. I thought it really added in that opening 10 minutes, particularly with the Sub-Zero Scorpion bit.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, when he walks up and the music that's playing when his wife and son are frozen, that's like, holy phenomenal shit. Like, that works. And then later, when Scorpion shows up and puts the spear through, you kind of get that, da, da, da. And I'm like, oh my God, are they going to do it? Are they going to do the music? And they're like, no, we're not going to do it. We just went, da, 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 da. And then we just did it. We just gave you the
just
tip there.
You're just
not
the getting tip, nothing. Baby. Just
we
the
just
tip.
Gave you the tip. So, yeah, that's why I scored a little bit low, because the last film did a better job with soundtrack, in my opinion.
Fair enough. And then martial arts for the last category.
Martial arts, again, is a mixed bag. I am going to go at 3.5 fists out of 5. I think that the stuff with Cole and Goro was a bit weak. I thought the stuff with Liu Kang was a bit weak. There's some stuff in there that just doesn't quite work for me. But the Scorpion Sub-Zero stuff is 5 out of 5. Like, these guys did an amazing job with martial arts. But some of the other stuff just doesn't quite work for me, so I'm going to give it 3.5 fists out of 5.
Yeah, I'm going 4 fists out of 5 for martial arts, just because I can't describe to you the way I felt in the opening 10 minutes of this film.
You don't need
film.
To describe it. I feel the same way.
It was so good. And even the last fight with the two of them, but that first opening scene. And, you know, I think it is weak where you said it was weak. I agree with that. I think some of the Sonya and Kano fight was good. Some of the other fights were good there as well. I liked some of the Kung Lao stuff. I thought he was badass. So, you know, there are a couple of weak spots, but for me, that's only going to drop at a point. And I was so psyched with the Sub-Zero Scorpion stuff that I can't put it lower than that. That shit was dope.
No, understood.
Sammo Hung, would you make this better?
Yes, really, really feel that you could do Sammo Hung as Raiden, but he's like an old god. And you know, in some of those old stories, like, gods are dicks. I would like to see an angry, drinking, I don't give a fuck Sammo Hung as Raiden. I think he would kill that role. Like, he's just kind of like, humans. You know, he drinks. He's kind of an asshole. I'd like to see him in that role, and I want to see him fight, because they put Christopher Lambert in, you know, Mortal Kombat. They put, I forget his name. I know his name, but I forget his name, as Raiden in MK Annihilation. And we've yet to see Raiden fight. I want to see Raiden shoot the lightning. I want to see Raiden do some kick-ass stuff. I want to see him do the
I want to see him do the I am Frito-Lay.
I want to see Sammo Hung as kind of like a humans are beneath me, kind of a jerk-ass Raiden. Yeah. I think that
but
Sammo
it's
would
my job
that.
To save this stupid fucking realm from yourselves, you jackasses.
Because the one thing that we didn't really go on too much is how ill-prepared Raiden was for this tournament. Like, you know, there's a tournament. Oh, we got a couple hundred years to get ready for it. And it's like fucking two weeks before the tournament.
Oh, shit, it's this Thursday.
He's just finding these guys now. I'd really like to see Sammo Hung as Raiden, kind of reluctantly putting this team together, but have him fight. Have Raiden fight. I want to see that guy in there.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to top that. I totally agree with that. That would be the shit. Would you put William Hung anywhere in this movie?
I don't
I'm
know.
I'm trying to think of a spot to put him in, and I don't think I have a spot for him.
I'd put him in the crowd watching the mixed martial arts fight.
Yeah.
Or maybe replace like super angry fight promoter with William Hung. Like,
that might be good.
Oh,
yeah.
Look, it's Cole. Mr. Quitter.
Quitty McQuitterston. Like, what's happening?
McQuitterston. Hey, I just want you to know that you have no official training in MMA.
you look like you have no official training in mixed martial arts.
William Hung, if we wanted to make this movie worse, putting William Hung in there would definitely be good for a laugh. For sure.
That is hilarious. All right, brother. Well, that's a wrap on MK 2021. And that is also a wrap on our season two. That wraps up our 42nd movie of official You Have Offended This Podcast. We've done several of our partial arts for the patrons, but this is our end of season two. So we're going to take a week off before we post our season three first movie. Our season three first movie is going to be Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport.
Can't wait. I love this film.
I'm fucking psyched to do Bloodsport, man. A bunch of people have asked us for this, so I'm pretty psyched to do this. Yeah, man. So we're going to jump right into Bloodsport for season three in 2 weeks' time on You Have Offended This Podcast.